you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
I like rape.
No way.
Good afternoon, Talkback. You are up next with Ian Williams. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlepersons. The reason that I'm calling is because I think that the average person with any common sense realizes that the United Nations has become as solid as cellulite. And I should know since I have some. But the reason that I'm calling is because I believe that a lot of the member nations that are against the United States are against us for the sole purpose that the State Department refuses the worldwide distribution of the Don and Mike Show. And
Come on. This is one of our regular crank callers. You're very funny. Good afternoon, Talkback. You're up next. Hello. Come on.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
Is that right, Randy?
No way.
That's Randy Jackson from American Idol. This is Frankenstein.
Good. Good.
You compare.
No way.
Ben.
Wow.
No.
Good, good.
Wait, yeah.
No way.
Frankenstein and then Randy rejecting somebody. Is that Randy?
No way.
Oh, it's Frankenstein.
No, it's Frankenstein.
No way.
Wow. That's Frankenstein. I know that anywhere.
No way.
Well, that's Randy.
Idiot. You are absolutely atrocious.
No way.
I like rape.
Oh, stop it. Where's that?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Yeah. Well, I'll start today by finding some goo. And it's the Don and Mike Show. As we used to say when we were morning zoo, FHI Thursday.
Sure, happy it's Thursday.
Yeah, it's like the S word. And you can call us. Like you heard it, 877-365-3636.
I like this rock, man.
Well, is the world going to end now? I was coming in today and I saw on the Beltway gigantic snowplows sitting at the ready. Meanwhile, I looked at the thing in my car, the thermometer, saying it was 39 degrees outside and it's not even drizzling.
And they're not sitting, Don. They're bracing.
Is that what it is, Mike?
They are bracing for the storm.
That's right. Dial them up right now, Robbie, if you've got them. Start today with a man short in stature, but large in prognostication ability.
He is our favorite weather forecaster.
You loved him in the Jackass movie.
He's Wee Man.
His name is Papa Shut. He's,
fresh off his cancellation on Armed and Famous.
He's the weather guy on Channel 9 here in D.C., the CBS affiliate. You got him? All right, here we go. Let's welcome to the show our friend Topper Shutt. Hey, Topper.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Howdy. Topper. Welcome. Welcome to the show, Topper. And for those around the country who deal with bad weather all the time, you know the story here in D.C. If anybody even threatens to spit on the road, they close.
Widespread
school.
Panic. Widespread. And Topper has been our favorite weather forecaster for a good long time, because not only does he come on sometimes when we ask him, but he knows our whole deal when it comes to weather. Man, he knows that really, if we had our choice, we'd be taking his fingers off.
I know.
And he has the Bretometer.
I broke the Bretometer out this year, and I am on heavy dose of Prozac, because I love to know.
I got a feeling that this thing today, and I will give you some credit, you've not turned up the emergency alarm.
Now, you're actually doing something that you don't see very often in this time. You seem to be calming people down a little bit.
Yeah, I think you know, there's just, believe me, if I could get excited, I would love to get excited, but this is just not doing it for me.
Yeah,
so it's a big bowl of nothing, right?
Well, the first system will go by, and that actually did quite a number in Charlotte and parts of North Carolina. We have one more chance.
Topper, excuse me for a moment.
Yeah?
You have just broken one of the prime directives with weather guys.
Uh-oh, what's that?
And it's not that you so much predicted that something would come our way or wouldn't, mm-hmm. but when you started by saying, well, we didn't get anything, but down in Charlotte, they got an ice storm that you wouldn't believe.
Well, you know, you'll have the video of Charlotte tonight, won't you?
I just say that, Donna Mike, because you don't think I'm a complete moron. There was something out there. It just slid into Southern Maryland. Southern Maryland did have a dusting, but, you know.
Oh, so it's already kind of in the area.
Yeah, the first was almost
it's gone.
The first was gone.
The thing was, and I watched the weather like a mental patient. the original forecast was...
All I see out here are a bird dropping.
Was an inch of snow by the end of today. And then another mix tonight, and it's that, here's another thing, Topper. When did you guys all decide to get together at your weatherman convention and come up with wintry mix as like a catch-all?
It's been around for a while, hasn't it?
But it's the go-to now.
Yeah, the wintry mix.
When you're not sure, it's just, well, a wintry mix.
Yeah, well,
it's a bit of everything.
Unfortunately, it covers the, it runs the gamut, and sometimes you need that.
I have a proposal for you. At the next convention, try SNEET. S-N-E-E-T.
SNEET.
A combination of snow and sleet.
Well, snizzle is snow and drizzle.
Snizzle.
It's not like you have to wipe it off your nose, but it's definitely another little thing.
Now we sound like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, there
all right,
you go.
So Topper, here in the D.C. area, it's nothing, right? You're depressed.
I'm depressed. I honestly think that we could have a little burst late tonight, tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning's rush might be impacted a little, but it'll be a little bit of rain, a little bit of mix south of town, and maybe the northern burbs get an inch.
Okay,
maybe.
This has got to be killing you. I mean, this whole winter's got to be killing you.
Down.
It's not been pleasant.
All that Doppler, all of that goddamn high def
technology.
at what point do they have a meeting and they say, why do we have four full-time weather people when it never snows here?
Are we going to get any snow ever?
Yeah, I think we will. I don't think we're going to make average snowfall this year. I mean, starting out with hardly anything in January, it's doubtful we'll make it up in February and March.
All right, well, enough about the weather. Thank you.
I will say one thing, though. It's going to get... I can see this thing. I can't see it on TV. I can see it on your show. It's going to get butt cold next week.
It's going to get butt cold.
Yeah. Like the coldest air we've seen in probably 10 years. Highs in the 20s, low 20s.
Really?
Yeah.
I know there are people around the country right now going like, BFD. you know, here in Miami North.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen.
I hear you.
Well, you're very generous to come on our show.
All right.
How are things at Channel 9?
Great.
Would you do a favor for all of us and say hi to Tracy for us?
I'll do that.
No, that's just from Mike and Buzz.
With my sexiest lie eyes, I'll do that.
Say hi to JC for me.
I
mean that. She has gone sans those King Tut wigs. And
exactly.
I'm telling you, beautiful.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
Say hi to Todd for me.
Rob. We're big fans of Channel 9, Topper.
All right, guys.
Hey, Topper, I don't want to put you in an awkward position. But I do have to ask about the Amazon woman that does the weather.
Yeah, that would be Kim.
How tall is she in real life?
She's big. She's probably 5'10", 5'11".
Oh, you must hate being in a room with her. You couldn't get away without one of those on
this
show.
She rode crew for Cornell.
Wow.
Quite an athlete.
She's a big, strong woman. You have to wear your Indiana Jones hat when you talk to her? You ever catch Topper on the 11 o'clock?
When he's on the deck.
He's outside on the deck.
Is it called the weather deck, Topper?
Weather terrace.
The weather terrace, I got it wrong.
A little more upscale, weather terrace.
Weather terrace.
All right, well, I'm watching that big woman.
All right, Doc, one favor to ask you.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I heard this a little while ago. when you cut your toenails, dude, do it over the toilet.
Good advice.
Okay? They'll go right in the toilet, and then you're done.
Good advice.
That's Topper, it's so much easier just to toss them over my side of
well,
the...
apparently it is.
All right, touche.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Topper.
Bye, Topper. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God, he's funny.
Topper Shutt from WUSA Channel 9.
All the, all the years we've been talking to weather guys, he might be the only one that kind of gets it.
No way.
You're right, Randy, he doesn't get it.
Good, good. No way.
Isn't he the most into it, though, too? Because you can really hear, no, it's not going to be anything. He'd like 3 feet.
True. You know, saying that he's an honest weatherman is like saying that someone is an honest lawyer.
Exactly.
But I believe he's honest in this regard. Much like I've tried to categorize George Bush recently. You know, he means the right thing. He's just, not the Topper is this way. Bush is just dumb as hell, but he thinks what he's doing is right. So, come on, support him. The thing about Topper Shutt is that he is unabashed in the fact that he gets on TV and says, I wish we had bad weather.
He does. He likes seeing it.
He
gets into it.
I like snow. I like putting on my... no, it's not him. I guess it's Howard Bernstein that puts on the earmuffs.
Oh, dear. When he's on the weather terrace?
And that's not a good look. You've got to go with that suede fedora thing.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. The Topper Indiana Jones fedora. Huh.
But you
Pan
should...
doesn't wear anything.
Tony Pan, no need. No need Tony Pan. Wow. And that hair that stands on edge. But I'm telling you, you want to see a creature you want to devour, check out that Amazon woman that
yeah,
I was
really?
Talking about.
Well, you heard 5'11", maybe 5'10", 5'11".
Huge, oh, big, yeah. Strapping
road
woman.
Road crew, big, strong, strapping woman.
And when I watch her on the television with my pants around my ankles while I am compulsively clipping my toenails, yeah. I
now,
notice that...
From now on, over the toilet.
She's, yeah, right, that'll happen. She is really so big, she has to arch herself backwards, almost like a dinosaur in Jurassic Park, to fit into the screen.
Really big.
Big, gigantic. Something like that. And I've tried to figure her body out because that's why I thought she has to be a tall drink of water because the suits that they put her in look like...
Pantsuits where the sleeve goes halfway up the arm.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, like the design is for them to be off the wrist. They're not supposed to be, but they go so far up it looks like
short sleeve.
Yeah, it's like Curly when he used to wear his sport coats on the Three Stooges. They go halfway up the arm. They don't belong there. Very odd. But I still like Channel 9.
Oh, so
when did Channel 9 become our go-to? Because we all kind of watch Channel 9 now.
Well, I guess
Channel 9 has their act together.
Well, I think they became our go-to as soon as they hit number 3 of the ratings.
I think it was Tracy.
No, it was when they won High Def. No, not High Def.
It was Tracy.
No, actually, number 4. They became our go-to as soon as they realized that no one was watching. As soon as they realized that they're getting beaten like bugs.
Who's number 1?
Oh, got to be Channel 4.
Is Channel 4 number 1? See, I thought Channel 9 was doing okay.
Actually, maybe cartoons are number 1. Really, maybe like The Simpsons are number 1 at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
I think so.
I'd like to check on that because I thought Channel 9 had better ratings than that. I really did. I thought it was 9, 4, and 7. I thought in that order.
I'd like to say so, but I don't think. I think it's 4, which is NBC. Then I think Fox is in there.
I thought 4 was having all the problems. That's why they jettisoned everybody.
4 is getting rid of all those people because NBC is just cost-cutting people.
Yeah. Right.
It's not because of the numbers. It's just because, you can throw in some young... Oh, my God. And
thank God Arch landed on his feet. Yeah. 7 will now lurch to the top.
Have you seen the new weather guy on Channel 4 on the weekend?
No.
The guy that looks like Doogie Howser's friend?
Oh!
You know the guy who's got that slightly Venezuelan look about him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of these guys with this.
Oh, is the guy with like a New York accent? Kind of a New York accent?
Kind of an
Here
off...
we go, we've got this.
Sounds like the boyfriend of Cynthia Nixon on Sex in the City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very similar. We're talking like this.
Almost like a baby talk.
That's right.
And here's where the forecast is.
But he looked like Doogie Howser's best friend.
I know, Vinny, yeah. He is... Yes, he may be the most annoying right now. Absolutely insanely annoying. But the sports lady on the weekend on Channel 4 is A-OK.
Lindsay Zarniak?
Is that her name?
Well,
the blonde with the great teeth?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The great smile where she smiles the whole time? Uh-huh. I don't even think about the sports when I'm watching her.
They've got a... who's that?
That's Norman.
Oh, hold on a second, everybody. Checking in now live from Super Bowl XXXI. Here is our friend Boomer Norman Esiason.
Hey, Boomer.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Boomer. Boomer.
It's actually XLI.
XLI?
Oh, when I say XXI.
XLI. I mean, they don't do four X's.
Jesus, I stopped keeping track of that like 13 years ago.
Boomer, how the HE double toothpicks are you?
I'm doing great, man. Nobody's living a better life than me right now, I can tell you that.
You look like you're having a good... When we watch you on the Magic Box, you look like you're having a good time.
I am. You know, the TV stuff is great. And then, of course, the double duty as the radio analyst for the Super Bowl. I mean, it's a football fan's dream. And not too many people have been able to, you know, to do this. And I'm just fortunate, man. All things are good right now.
Boomer, are you down there near that big cesspool known as Radio Row down at the Super Bowl? Or are you actually in a secure location?
Right now I'm in my hotel room. How about that? That's as secure as it gets. Unfortunately, though, last night, you know, what happens is people see you in the lobby, right? So what they do is they go over to the house phone and they start calling your phone.
Ooh.
And I must have had about four or five crank calls last night.
Like in the wee hours, too?
In the wee hours. You know, people spilling out of the bars and everything. And they're saying, hey, let's give Boomer a call. Let's give James Brown a call. You know what I mean?
Well, hold on, Boomer. You don't use
You don't check in under Bugs Bunny, Boomer? That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, you know what I did? I usually do, you know, and I didn't do it this time. And then, obviously, today I changed it, so.
But anyway, here's what you should do. Anytime you check into a major hotel, Boomer, check in under the name Jess Atkinson.
Jess,
no one will ever ask for you.
Come on, that's not true.
We like Jess. Jess is a good guy.
We love Jess.
Sure.
Hey, Boomer, I don't know if you're watching all the crap that these guys are saying. They pretty much have said nothing today. The one thing I did notice on one of the shows this morning was they had a clip of Rex Grossman, maybe from this morning, getting a little mad at the press, saying to them that they're, in essence, saying, you guys are stupid, you're asking me the same dumb questions every single day. And it's the closest I've seen to anybody actually making a fist. Have you heard anything about that, or is this just something that I saw, like, on...
I can understand why he would do that, to be honest with you, because it is. It's overblown. I mean, it's a football game, you know, and everybody knows he has to play good, and Peyton has to play good, and Chicago has to run the ball, and Peyton can't make mistakes. I mean, it's just it's ad nauseum. It's over and over. I mean, and we got to do it over for four hours on Sunday.
And it is the most, they say it's the most overanalyzed sporting event in the history of mankind. You know, the other day we were talking with Jim Nantz. We were asking him about the down there at the Super Bowl, because it is South Beach, because that energy down there in Miami. You get a sense that everybody's going to be toeing the line. Everybody's going to be getting back to the hotel on time, behaving themselves. No rumors about anybody going nuts or crazy. Because I know there's some guys that have never been through this that actually, you know, even though it's the biggest game of their careers, they do tend to wig out during the festivities.
Wow. One of those guys was my former teammate, Stanley Wilson.
Right, that's
right.
He
worked out the night before the game. We found him in a drug-induced haze, and he was suspended from the game. And I always said it was one of the worst decisions that Sam Wish ever made, because the guy was a hell of a football player. I would have much rather had him on the field as opposed to wandering the streets aimlessly, wondering what the hell's happened to his life.
But right. if everybody is locked down and everybody's being good,
is everybody behaving themselves, Boomer?
I think so. I think for the most... Well, listen, Shannon Sharpe's not behaving himself, I can tell you that. But everybody on the teams are. But I think everybody is so worried about being, you know, the next Eugene Robinson or Stanley Wilson that... you know, even the center for the Raiders a few years ago, his name, he went off the deep end, too.
That's a guy.
Barrett Robbins.
He went to Tijuana, right? He like took some time off from San Diego.
He was like bipolar. Remember, he was bipolar.
Right.
He took off down at Tijuana. Exactly right. So I don't... Listen, at the end of the day, I think most of these guys all realize it's a business trip. And from the aspect of the two teams, hanging around the two teams, I think Chicago seems to be a hell of a lot more loose than Indianapolis.
That's a good sign, isn't it?
I always think it's a good sign. You never know if it's going to translate into anything positive on Sunday. But, you know, Bill Polian is the GM for Indianapolis. You remember he was the GM for those Super Bowl Buffalo Bill teams that never won.
Right.
You know, and Bill could be a pretty tough guy. I mean, you know, he's like, we're going to practice today. You know, they didn't want us to practice and all this other stuff. But come on, you know, listen, what are we going to do? We're going to run over to the, you know, the Bears and tell them what you didn't practice? I mean, the Bears know what you're going to do. I mean, you know what you're going to do. Everybody has film on each other. I mean, it's not like this should be like a Pentagon lockdown or something, but unfortunately, you know, he's made it that way for Indianapolis.
I got one more thing for you, because you used to run that no-huddle, that thing with Crazy Sam Wyche.
Yeah.
And now you didn't do it like Peyton Manning did, but back when you played, it was the closest thing, because you would call.
Well, No. I took it one step further than Peyton. You know, I mean, we had our.
Don't be modest, Boomer.
we had our entire offense was run at the line of scrimmage, every formation, every play. And not only did we run every play had three code words attached to them. So we, you know, I wouldn't have to yell the same code words over and over and over again. And the interesting thing about that was that not only did I have to know the play and the code word, I had to know whether or not I yelled a particular code word the last time I called that play.
Oh, and did you have to shift that up every week?
Every week.
Oh, my God.
Every week. So,
oh, my God.
So I can completely appreciate what Peyton Manning's going through. You know, a lot of quarterbacks suffer from ADD, so they can't remember things from one thing to the next. That's probably why they're good as they are, because they can't remember the bad plays as well as the good plays.
And someone who ran that, as you said, you know, better than Peyton Manning.
Better than Peyton Manning. I just said I ran it.
How much of that is BS to fake out somebody? How much of it is to see what the defense is going to do? And how much of it is really calling a play? I mean, specifically to Peyton Manning.
I would tell you that he's calling a play. Somewhere in all that gyration, he is calling a play. Then, you know, he calls the play, gets to the line of scrimmage, and then is trying to see what the defense is doing, and then he might change the play if he can get the defense to lock itself in. The biggest thing for a quarterback in any game is that what they call a pre-snap read. You know, trying to get the answer to the question before you snap the ball. And really the key to a defense is hiding that read as best they can, disguising it, if you will, and then getting into their defense when the ball is snapped. So
I tell you something. I know you love this kind of talk.
Really,
you know what?
Do.
I don't have as much as you. I like this kind of talk, too, because when he's talking about that, do you get any feel for the percentages when those guys come to the line of scrimmage that they pick it up? Is there any kind of percentage? Like, do they get it 50% of the time? Or
well, I was talking to Brian Urlacher this week, and he says, listen, I don't understand what the hell he's talking about. I don't know what he's doing. I said, if I get caught up in trying to figure out what he's doing, then I forget what I'm doing.
Okay.
You know, and I need to know what I'm doing so I can stop what he's doing.
And usually it's a glaring thing, I mean, for a big play. It has to be something where, you know, there's a guy on the outside that's wide open or something like that, right? I mean,
at the end of the day, the bottom line is they got to, you know, you got to tackle and you got to break tackles and you got to read defenses and you got to try to, you know, read an offense and what they're trying to do to make a play. I mean, listen, I can break it down as technically as you want, but at the end of the day, when they wake up on Sunday morning, somebody's going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Who is that guy that's going to make those mistakes? And if it's Peyton Manning, guys, you know what? I said it before. He can move right into the neighborhood with Alex Rodriguez, you know, because he has all the money, all the stats, and no championships. And unfortunately, I don't feel that way, but the so-called geniuses out there, the bloggers and everybody else, will say that he can't win a damn big one. And I, you know, listen, I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's already proven that he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
So you do believe it, as I do, that he got off the schneid when he won the championship game?
Well, it wasn't even that. I thought even prior to that, you know, I do believe that this year's playoffs have basically set up really nicely for them because they played the Kansas City Chiefs, which is an average football team. They played Brian Billick and the Baltimore Ravens, and Brian Billick did his best imitation of Marty Schottenheimer. and then they played, of course, the Patriots, who forgot to run the ball in the second half. So it was like everything set up perfectly for him, and now he has an average defense to go against, and he should have a tremendous game, and he should be the MVP of this Super Bowl.
Well, that's why you're great on TV. I mean, I'm not slurping you. And when you wore that that hoodie, much needed on that show.
You getting to keep it?
Yeah, I got to keep it, and I wore it out of respect for the genius, Bill Belichick, the monk. And the genius didn't come through. And,
no,
and not worse than that, he was not a dignified loser, to say the least.
He was not. I mean, that whole moment that he had.
He did blow off Peyton Manning, correct?
Well, he not only blew off Peyton Manning, but Solomon Wilcots, my colleague. You know, Solomon asked him a question. Well, they just played better than us. You know, how about saying, well, you know, we couldn't stop the run, or Peyton Manning was great, and I'm so happy for Tony Dungy? Nothing.
Well, I think sometimes those guys get a little spoiled with success.
You would think he has enough to go around. You would think that he would be happy, like you, Boomer, like Lefty, of course. Lefty.
Yeah, well, I'm a happy guy, but I'm happy because I don't have to get hit anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you do really a fantastic job. We are big fans. We really.
Well, I appreciate that, guys, and I know that JB loves you guys, and he's always telling me about all the nice things you say about us. So I certainly appreciate it.
Well, it's great to hear from you, Boomer. And hold on, did you know that Jim Nance gives his tickets away?
He gives his ties away.
He gives his ties away. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Something you might want to think about, Boomer. At the end, he finds a young fan and takes the tie off, and usually about a 13-14-year-old kid and throws him the tie like Mean Joe Green.
That's what I was gonna say. It's a Mean Joe Green moment. What do you know, man? I never knew that about Jim. I know he's touching, but I didn't know he was that touching.
He scalps his tickets. He gives away his ties.
He's a good guy.
All right, Boomer. Have a good time down there, and thanks for checking in, dude.
All right, guys. Thanks. Okay. Have a great week.
Bye-bye, right. Boomer.
See you, boys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. He's fun. Yeah. We have to get him on again. We can get him ramped up. He's a lot of fun.
He is no slacker in the ego department.
And you don't hear that enough, I think. Right. I like that.
At the end of the day, he's opinionated. And at the end of the day, he tells you his opinion.
Because he's a lefty. Because he's a lefty.
More than Peyton.
What did he said he called it more than Peyton.
One night, God, back when...
He was just, incidentally, for local people in Washington, D.C., who followed Jess Atkinson, did some sports casting around here. I don't know where Jess is now.
He was a kicker for the Redskins for a while.
Kicker for the Redskins, and they were roommates at
the University of Maryland.
University of Maryland, right.
And Mike and I are old enough that when Boomer Esiason played for the University of Maryland Terrapins...
Big fan of the show.
Yeah, and that's when we began our lust of him.
Yep.
The albino wizard.
I remember we had one time he was on, and we had the whole albino thing, and they said, I'm not albino.
I'm not albino. One time I was talking with him after he retired, but when we still worked, I guess, maybe it's since we worked at this place, irregardless,
mm-hmm.
he was out of football and he was back in town at some function, and I was doing my usual, in essence, being on my knees in front of him, presenting to him, mm-hmm. and I started talking about, boy, it must just be great to be in a Super Bowl, and I said something like, boy, if you ever think about the fact that if Joe Montana didn't make that great drive right at the very end, that maybe, it would have been you. And he really got pissed at me.
Sure.
Really got pissed. And it was almost the same reaction that Joe Theismann gave us at that point. He said, it was something along the lines of, have you ever actually even participated in a sporting event that anybody have even watched or cared about?
What's amazing?
What's up with this?
I have tremendous regard for athletes.
He scares me. He scared me back then.
Right. I have tremendous regard for athletes that go regularly on sports talk radio, because the sports talk guys are like that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They have nothing else to talk about. So when you have to do it, they are just like that. Hey, do you think that that one time if you were wearing the yellow shoe instead of the blue shoe, you might have thrown that screen pass that would have resulted in a 10-yard gain and a first down that would have allowed you to go inside the red zone and at least kick a field goal to take it to overtime?
I remember saying something like a compliment, and the guy bit my friggin' head off.
I think that a lot of those guys, especially guys like quarterbacks like Theismann and Boomer Esiason, they hear guys like you and me talking about the game like we've played it, and they resent it. I think you can't. I don't think there's a pro athlete that doesn't, on some level, no matter who you are, look at a broadcaster who hasn't played the game.
We do that too to people?
Sure.
When they call us, don't we say?
We do. We do it every day.
Isn't our fallback answer to someone always, well, you're listening to us on the radio. That means we're better than you.
Right. Well, I like yours. The one I like better that you use, have you ever been number one at anything in your life?
Right. Well, that's the same as Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I just stole it from them. Oh. It's like, do they die?
That diminishes it for me. I used to like it. Please just dismiss what you just said and say, you came up with it originally, because you know what? I don't like the fact you don't tell me you stole it from Theismann.
Well, I didn't steal it from Theismann. It's just like a generality.
I've used it, though. I've stolen it from you, and I've used it to people when I've been drunk.
It's true. I mean, you go to someone, have you ever been?
Hey, pal, you give me a hard time about having an extra cocktail. Have you ever been number one at anything in your life?
Yeah. Have you ever been, regulated to your industry? Have you ever been up on top? Have you ever? If you've never smelled that rarefied air, as Jim McMahon said to me, that F off.
Right.
Just F off.
And it all, you know what it is? And you respected Jim McMahon for saying that to you.
Loved him.
It's all degree. Theismann. Even Mark Griffin, to a certain extent, all of our friends that have played football,
all of these guys that we've wanted to fillet,
in a one way or the other, they're all telling us to F off. They're just doing it in different ways.
And they do it on...
And they're doing it in the nicest possible way.
And they all do it on TV as well.
Mm-hmm.
They do it on TV as well with the guy, the poor, unfortunate schmuck, like a guy like Trey Wingo.
Or Sam Rosen.
I like goofing on Trey Wingo the most, though, because... Mm-hmm. First off, with that name, Trey Wingo. Yeah.
Trey Wingo, it's got to be his real name, and you know he got beaten up because of it.
Right. And when he's on this NFL show that I watch sometimes on ESPN, they have, Sean Salisbury, who really, if the guy was half as good as he thinks he was, he would be in the Hall of Fame.
Now, see, we're going to get a call from Sean Salisbury now. So it's going to get back to him. Go, hey, man, I heard that.
Well,
who are you? You ever played in a game? Do you know what it is to make it in the NFL?
Well, he runs his big mouth. He's one who never did nothing.
Right.
And then sitting next to him is another guy that Mike and I know, Mark Schlereth, who used to play on the Redskins.
Stinky.
And when I watch this show, NFL Live, quite often now the one guy, the quarterback, can't do it because he was like a journeyman and never really amounted to much. Mm-hmm. But Mark Schlereth, every once in a while, just throws it. Trey Winkle will start going to the crazy, like, you know, like you and I, like, the segment is called What Were They Thinking? He's coming to the line. Look, he doesn't know what the play is called. And they go to a wide shot of these three guys, and Mark Schlereth just looks at him and goes, sometimes in the heat of a game, you get caught up, you can't chew that clock. Did you ever play the game, Trey? And that is the fallback answer.
You can't. That's
and
why
you can blame them. And can you imagine?
They're able to do that. They
can you imagine if doctors had the balls to do that to our faces?
Mm-hmm.
If you were ever in a doctor's office and a doctor says something to you like, you know, I'm not really sure. I think I'm going to have to get a second x-ray on that. Or I think it's this. And if you said to them, and you never backtalk a doctor, right? You always put it, even like you would with a quarterback, in the nicest possible way. You know, maybe, you know, it feels weird on the left side, not on the right side. I mean,
and the doctor looks at you and goes, okay, come here for a second. See this? This is a piece of surgical string. Here, I want you to tie the knot that I close on my cardiac patients.
Tie it!
Tie the knot, pussy boy! Tie that knot!
That's it. Or how about you? See that on the wall? Diploma. You see that? You know how long I had to go to medical school? Do you have any idea how many valves are attached to the human heart?
Okay, smartass, now give me another scotch.
Or do you just want to tell me how the pain is on the left side as opposed to the right side?
I'm trying to think now of professions where they can do that. Airline pilots, to me, could do that. Yeah. Airline pilots could do that.
No, they'd have to be drunk, though.
That was a bumpy ride.
Not while they're flying the plane, but...
A bumpy ride. Okay, then I'd like you to tell me, Mr. Smartass, where the ailerons are. Tell me where they... Come on. Just point to them. Point to where the ailerons are, okay? What do? When you're on a glide slope, you want to tell me what a glide slope is? Huh, fat ass?
They could do it.
There are lots of professions.
But no. They wouldn't. They wouldn't.
They're pros.
Cops wouldn't.
Right.
Although sometimes...
Cops would.
If you watch Cops, the TV show, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You see it sometimes.
Right. Yeah, when they've got like the crystal meth user who's lipping off to him, you know.
Spills
like,
out.
Yeah. Well, I don't do that. I don't participate in that kind of behavior. I have to raise myself to higher standards. And you're sitting here drooling on your shirt.
Do you know how long it took me to get into the academy? Do you know that I was offered the same opportunities you were, but I chose a life on the straight and on the narrow?
Right. And the crystal meth user, unfortunately, can't do that.
Always sit there with his or her shirt off. Lots of pimples on their back.
Uh-huh. You know how hard it was to roll up that baggie?
No, I believe that is something that is, even we can't claim ownership of that. That is absolutely a 100%, not even in all sports, just a football player thing. Because think about it, if you're watching a baseball show,
mm-hmm.
you don't see former baseball players coming down with attitude like, hey.
Never.
You ever stand inside a batter's box?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's because most people have. Maybe not at a major league level.
Baseball players, and because I'm such a big baseball fan, the elite of baseball players, it's a different thing altogether. The elite of baseball players, like a guy like Cal Ripken, or you'll say even a Pete Rose, who I've seen, they've got a different aura about them. They don't do a lot of, it's not a lot of talking, but you just know people, you want to talk about a slurp factor? You see a Hall of Fame baseball player and see people around there, I mean, and they'll just go,
hey, wouldn't Cal be the best, though? Yeah. If you give Cal Ripken a hard time, hey, you doofus. Hey, what's up with your cancer patient haircut?
Do you remember how...
Hey, what's up with those rabbit eyes? And all he's got to say to you is, excuse me, hello, how many games did you play in a row?
Yeah.
Right?
In a row.
Hey, did you ever make it through a midget football game? You ever play every play? Huh? Dumbass? Yeah, that's the way they all are.
And, really,
and they can be.
And it would be the best. You got to know that they are just, speaking of W, every single day they're stepping on him not to do that. Because, you know, that is his, in case of emergency, break glass. One time when he's standing in front of everybody getting grilled about a rack, and he finally goes, hey, hold on a a second. Who has the job? Who has, who's the boss?
Hey, Wolf Blitzer, I don't see a 747 parked out at Andrews Air Force Base with your seal on it. Do I, Baldy? You want me to take that toupee off?
Oh, you know, he can do it. I could call the Secret Service on your head. I can have your mama thrown in jail tomorrow, and I won't even have to think about it twice.
And the guy that really wants to do it, unfortunately, is the number two guy, because you know Cheney would love to do that.
Hi, bitches.
Oh, hold on.
There he is. Cheney would really like to do it more than Bush.
Oh, he lost our Dick Cheney tape.
Oh, no.
The Dick Cheney tape is now, it's been replaced with Paris Hilton talking about smoking pot.
Yeah. Well, it's good
tape. Hi, bitches.
What?
Yeah, the best pot. You want to smoke pot?
Yeah.
I'm the best pot. Oh, you get it. Dude, we're smoking pot if you guys want to smoke. Me, Tori, Liz, Nikki. Hi, bitches.
She is.
You are absolutely atrocious.
I handled it wrong. That was Dick Cheney.
That was Dick Cheney.
I don't approve of that.
Dick Cheney would say something like that. Well, I guess if you're so smart, you should have the secret bunker to hide in.
I just think it's hogwash.
Thank you very much.
Wolf Blitzer.
And, of course, we're talking Super Bowl as we did.
Da Bears.
Okay.
Da Bears.
Okay.
Da Bears.
Thank you.
Da Bears.
Okay. You a little conflicted about this Super Bowl?
Not
you
at all.
Da Bears.
Not at all, Mike. Let's go. Yeah, I am.
Of course I am.
Da Bears.
Of course I am. There's a part of me wants the Colts to win, but on the other hand, hey.
Da Bears.
Come on.
Yeah.
I lived in Chicago.
Yeah. You always have kind of floated around. I mean, Jim McMahon. I mean, and all that.
But the Packers hate the Bears. So I got to. And Peyton Manning called me after my wife died.
That's true.
So I got to go with Peyton Manning.
Got to go with Peyton.
Got to go with Peyton Manning.
Da Bears.
I said to Rob, how am I going to break the tie? And Rob said, easy, go with the white coach. And I said, well. And then Rob said, what?
Yeah. Right. Oh, and he was shocked. And that's
Rob said, what?
He went into shock on the spot.
I know.
I'm researching. I'm going to find out which is the better coach. I'll have an answer. My COP.
But you would have to say this. Right now, the coach is playing. Neither one of them is different. I mean, they're different from you.
But they're the same as each other.
They're the same as each other.
Does that count for anything, Rob?
Not for me.
You close-minded dullard.
They're different from me.
Da Bears.
Da Bears. There's Rob.
All right, well, gosh. That was a jam-packed, for us, that was a jam-packed opening segment.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know about you. I think we've done enough good. We can just get in our cars and go home, wait for the snowstorm that's not going to get here.
See you tomorrow for the Absinthe Show.
Be right back. Tomorrow.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh-huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
What about Brett Favre?
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, what about him?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Idiot.
No way.
This is not what you signed up for. The Don and Mike Show.
Good. Good.
No way.
Hey, you're doing the Frankenstein mix.
No way.
The Frankenstein Caddyshack mix.
Good. Good.
No way. No way.
Good. Good.
No way.
Friends.
No.
Not like that.
They wear corrective shoes on their brains. Don Geramo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Driving to Philadelphia right now, wondering what station the show is going
to
be on.
In Philadelphia?
Yeah.
The show in Philadelphia is on
WSAB, right?
No, it used to be WSAVE. It's WFHU. W Philadelphia hates us.
WPHU?
WPHU.
WPHU.
Is there a number that gets
No, I'm kidding.
666. 66.6.
What is it?
No, no, we're on Andy Reid 69. The big 69 Andy Reid.
Look for the pillows. It's the pillows billboard.
Making fun of me.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. We're making fun of ourselves. Don't you understand?
We're on Ass 98. Darling, we got canceled in Philadelphia years ago.
Philadelphia did not show us the Quan.
That's why it's WPHU. Philadelphia hates us.
We're not on there.
Hello?
Hello?
So now do you understand we were really poking fun at our failure in Philadelphia?
I see.
Instead of you and your many flaws.
Reject a woman and she will never let it go. One of the many defects of their kind. Also weak arms.
So when will you get to New York? Because when you get to No, you won't be able to listen to us there either.
True. Yeah.
Well, it depends on what part of New York.
Not New York City proper.
Not New York City.
No. You'd have to be in Rochester or Buffalo.
Yes. But you could go through New York and a good chunk of Connecticut. Then New Hampshire. Well, then you could go to Vermont. Where are you headed?
Actually, we're headed up to the tattoo convention in Philly.
Boy, your voice changed.
What happened to you, ma'am?
She actually gave up on you guys.
Well, she gave up. Did she think we were making fun of her?
It's not the first time a woman's given up on us.
I'm pretty sure she was. And actually, I was hoping she'd get right through because she doesn't listen to you guys enough, so she deserves it.
Ah, good. Well, that's the right attitude you have.
Good for
you.
Exactly. Well, and that's why I'm trying to find a space on the way out.
We're not on there.
Yeah, because you got to ride in the car with her.
Yeah.
Is she in the passenger seat?
Say what?
Is she in the passenger seat?
Yes.
Why don't you ask her to take a nap?
What?
Why don't you ask her to take a nap? Maybe
it's actually a van. I could put her in the back.
Did you say you're going to a tattoo convention?
That's right, yeah.
Is it a tattooist convention where you find out all sorts of new techniques?
Well, no. You can actually get tattooed. There's tons of artists that actually are working.
I'm really sad that these two young, vibrant young people are not going to be able to listen to our show today.
There are people.
It's a shame. Damn you, Philadelphia.
I urge you to get her to take a nap, put her head in your lap, and see what happens. Okay?
I think that's a good idea. So what, you guys aren't in Philly? Are you kidding me?
No, I can't wait. This is so painful for
us. It's not right, is it? But
it's true. How many times must we relive our failures to finally say to you, we are not on in Philadelphia?
But you know what? I'm going to start a riot while we're there. We'll just get the tattooed people to burn the place down.
And we really tried in Philadelphia, too. We went there.
Ugh. Ate the food.
How many times did we go there? Yeah, and ate the food.
A lot. We went there a lot.
What's that street that they, the alleged party street they have up there?
Oh, come on. Now, hold on. Don't be hating on Philadelphia, really. I like the city of Philadelphia.
We had some good times.
It was the dick program director that ruined it for us.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that always our blanket excuse?
Remember when we went to the house?
Program director.
Remember we went to the house outside of Philadelphia and did the show from the house when it was so hot?
The world's sweatiest Las Vegas-style show.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we actually did not a live show, but we did like our stage show from some guy's row house in Philadelphia.
We did a live broadcast from right by the vet.
One Friday night. Oh, my God. That's the worst remote we ever did.
It is.
That's the worst remote we ever did. You know, we don't play records. So we started on this station in Philly that was classic rock. And they wanted us to give away Stones tickets because the Stones were in Philly.
Right.
And we said, okay, we'll do a What Would You Do for a Stones Tickets contest. And this is long before the drinking water scandal. It was like five years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, the CBS lawyers said, you can't have anybody like eating stuff and regurgitating stuff. And
we actually pulled way off of it after that because it was the writing was on the wall there. It really was. And then we got credit for it. Remember those lawyers in Sacramento? They gave us credit for being responsible.
So the company says, you can't do this contest to have people like eat stuff and drink stuff to win the tickets to see the Stones. Meanwhile, they got a tent. There's a couple hundred people there. And we said, well, what are we supposed to do? And they said, well, I don't know, guys. Go on out. Have a good time.
You're entertainers.
Have a good show.
Yeah, wing it.
It was one of the worst shows, really, that we've ever done.
Because that type of show, we are very capable of doing if we're, you know, in a studio. When you've got people with the panda effect, I mean, you're out there, it's just not the same. We couldn't take phone calls.
Yeah, and we were in a very hot tent with about 200 people who had the advantage of drinking beer all day before we arrived. And they were there with one single goal. They had the stupid stunts that they wanted to do.
That was it.
To win the tickets. And right as the show was starting, we had to say, hey, guess what? We can't do any of the stunts.
We made a lot of friends that day. Yeah.
So all the listeners were mad at us. And I think, didn't the client get mad at us?
Everybody was mad at us. And we were mad at them.
Everybody was
mad. It was absurd. It was we were put in an unwinnable position there.
Philadelphia. How dare you bring that up?
We did have one good time on that street.
Look what you've done to us.
When the day that you...
Actually, you guys distracted me enough to miss my exit. So, apparently, I'm...
Hey, good.
I'll be able to listen to you eventually.
All right.
See you.
Glad you were listening.
Go to Sacramento. We're always on there.
Always.
24 hours a day.
The greatest purchase that you ever made for Rob Spiewak was the basketball jersey of the... Was it the Chicago Hebrews?
No, it was the Philadelphia Hebrews.
Philadelphia Hebrews. You still have that jersey, don't you, Rob?
Of course I do. Mm-hmm.
They're the original Philadelphia professional basketball team.
We all bought hats one night.
No, you bought us all hats.
I bought you all hats.
Hats for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Was the hat I've been drinking?
Possibly.
Yeah. I think I'll wear that jersey tomorrow.
They had that.
For the party.
They had that great Mitchell and Ness store where they sold all those throwback jerseys.
Great, great jersey.
And store. I got very drunk with everybody one night and went out with Rob. And this jersey was prohibitively expensive. Like, I had to call Frida at the time to say, I want to buy a present for Rob.
It was her reaction. I remember you took the cell phone from your ear and looked at it.
You bought the jersey.
It was like $350.
Yeah. You bought the jersey, and then we made him put it on.
Yes. And walk the street.
You had to put it on in the store and walk the street.
At least I look good in a jersey.
It has the Star of David on it.
Yes.
And says real big. Hebrews.
Oh, fantastic.
I about fell out. I was in the store. And poor Rob has to be my companion when I go shopping. I'm like a chick looking for shoes. When I go into the store, Mitchell and Ness, it's like I was saying to Rob, okay, I'm looking for the throwback San Diego's Chargers jersey. I'm looking for a Warren Moon jersey. So I've got Rob searching for the jerseys, and then all of a sudden I see this thing that says Hebrews.
I think you may have bought the Hebrews jersey and a Dan Pastorini jersey. Or something like that. You bought some obscure quarterback.
Yeah, well, maybe that was the Houston Oilers jersey.
I think it was the Houston Oilers jersey.
And then we sang karaoke.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only other good memory in Philadelphia was karaoke with Ben Franklin.
Right. Oh, that's right. We sang karaoke.
We did have some good times in Philadelphia.
None of them related to the show.
No.
We just had good times.
We had one good party with the... We had a couple of good parties with the...
Oh, and that little bar.
Yeah.
That was a good party.
You know what? What the hell's wrong? You know, you're right. It had nothing to do with Philadelphia.
No.
It had nothing to do with the people of Philadelphia. It had everything to do with that ween.
Yeah, the program director, Tim Sabian. Bastard really sold us out like a bastard hasn't sold us out before.
Hated the fact that we were on his radio station. Wanted to play music. Wanted to play music from the day we got there.
Seemed to resent it,
Do you remember how mad we were? We can laugh about it now. Yeah. We're sitting up in this guy's office. And he had a shrine to Opie and Anthony. And we had to sit in this guy's office. This is back when we were feuding with them. Right before we were feuding with them. It was like when we thought that maybe we were going to work together with these guys and with Howard on some level for a network that the company was going to put together.
How'd that work out for him?
We're sitting in Tim's office, and
super.
God, he really doesn't want us on this station, and he won't get past the fact that we're not rockers.
Right.
And, you know, Mike and I didn't have holes in our jeans. And
right.
And that we weren't cool, and that, God damn, we're old farts. And the whole time... Right over his right hand shoulder. Seriously, it's like if you go into an old person's house, they got like the shrine to Jesus, and they got the picture of Martin Luther King, they got a picture of JFK up on the wall, they got a picture of Jesus on the wall. He had all this stuff for Opie and Anthony in the corner.
Right.
And it was like, we didn't know the guy well enough to say anything like, you know, what's going on, like, with the candle over there and the autographed pictures? And
we should have seen the writing on the wall at that stage of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We should have stood up at that moment and said, you know, they're really behind you around here.
Yep. Well, no, he was behind O&A.
He was.
No doubt he
was.
You know, he
from the beginning.
He picked his dog in that race.
Right.
His dog in that
race. Only I carried a skateboard.
From day number one. Oh, now, come on. Okay, you know, I'm not going to say this. Not their fault.
No, I'm not saying it is.
No.
But not Opie and Anthony's fault. I mean,
you were talking about Tim's perception.
They walked into a situation with a guy, and they won the guy over. More power to them.
Right.
And I'm sure they know by now. He turned like everybody else does. He ended up selling them out. And
right. Opie and Anthony, the one thing.
And he working for Howard now? Isn't Tim Sabian working for Howard now?
Yeah. The one thing we said about Opie and Anthony, it's the truth. And I feel that way, actually. I feel stronger than the first time I said it, is that, you know, when it comes to paying their dues, they paid their dues. It almost falls into the same category. You know, it goes up the chain. And, you know, they got sold out way back when, and then they came back. And, you know, more power to them as far as I'm concerned. I really feel that way now.
But Philadelphia, ooh.
That's Philadelphia was a disaster.
The whole thing with Philadelphia has got to be this guy, Tim Sabian, who was also one of these guys. And I had known him before we worked there. I knew him back when I played records, back when we worked at WLS in Chicago. And he was one of these guys where he was just so full of crap. And I was so stupid for believing it at first. I remember telling Mike, listen, out of all the PDs, this is one we can trust. I knew this guy way back. He was
not knowing that the polar opposite was true.
He was okay. Right away, like, besides the fact that he was like hyper, like a chia pet with his bad hair, like a chia pet on coke, running around all the time, just hyped up and like, are you guys ready to rock today?
Yeah.
What do you got for the show today? Are you gonna rock out? It's like,
and questions, constant. Questions,
Don,
manic, nervous questions.
Don, it's Tim. You hit your break yesterday at 3:22. I'd really like you to hit that 3:24.
You know the kind of guy he is? Seriously, he'd sit in his office, and he'd have a conversation with me like this. He'd say, so how you doing? You okay? You checking in the hotel? You like the hotel? Great. You can go to dinner tonight? Where are you going to go to dinner? You like the city? Having a nice time? You check out some of the sites? Okay. You having any trouble getting around? Everything okay? You doing all right? How do you like the studio? You comfortable in there? And everything we can do for you? Everything all right?
Shut up! I would get the real answer. Well, you would get that. I would get right. Break at 24! What does it matter what time we take our commercial breaks? And right. That's when he would pull out. He was another one of these guys with the computers.
Oh, yeah.
The charts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Research.
My God. You know,
it was all about the music and the fact that we needed to blend with the music in every way. We still did our show, but we had to put in elements. Remember he made you put in elements on the show?
Yeah. One day he came to me and he's real hyper and everything.
I almost used a bad word.
He says, man, listen, you got to know something. The person who listens to WYSP does not want to hear Rick James. Or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I dared play something by a black artist.
Right.
And I'll say in fairness to Tim, it wasn't a race thing with him. It was the fact that all he wanted for music coming in out of commercials was Metallica.
He wanted rock.
Right.
He wanted the same kind of music they were playing on their radio station. He didn't realize that having a talk show and having stager music fits the talk show. And, and we just did it for fun. And that was it.
We would drive him nuts, though, because let me just get any disc here, any of our discs. And keep in mind, the songs that you come back from commercials with, you know, you play them maybe for 30 seconds.
That's all.
And then you fade the stupid thing out, so it would be like it would go, Don and Mike on 94 WYSP. And then they turn the feed on, and it would be...
They will choke your throat with the umbilical cord of comedy. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know, just like it is now, we'd come on and we'd start doing the show, and he'd be standing where you are, Buzz, looking through the window. And right at this point... Woo!
He'd hate that. I'd get a look.
Yeah. I would get a look from two studios away. And here's what it would just be eyes down like.
And that would be his motivation for us.
Uh-huh. And that's all he would remember about the entire show. He would call me that night and he would say, again, all hyper.
Yeah.
How'd you think it go, man? Did you guys rock out? Did you rock hard?
And I said, I know you're doing what you think is right, man, but I really think it would really work well if you would put this in here.
Don. Our listeners don't relate to Will Smith.
Hello.
Everybody goes to his movies.
Right.
What's the problem with...
Do you remember the one time we went through the promo book?
Oh.
And a promo book is... They're live things that disc jockeys are supposed to read to promote everything on the station. I mean everything. They're little liners. We went through. They had promoted every show. They had promoted every contest and everything they were giving away. There was not one mention in the book of this show.
I know.
It wasn't promoted
it was like
one time in
the five
that
pages of liners. It was like WYSP plays the best rock.
Mm-hmm.
WYSP has Howard in the morning. WYSP has Howard in the midday. WYSP has mandatory Metallica at night. WYSP has... Get the Let Out for the Led Zeppelin show.
And you read him just like that. You went right through the book and read him, and he went nuts about that.
Yeah, he didn't like, and that was another thing. He pulled me aside and said, I don't like the behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's like 80% of our show.
Right. And I said to him, hold on, you know, again, not to have the dual standard here with your tribute, with your shrine. I didn't say it like that, but I said, you call up Opie and Anthony. You call up Howard, and you go on these guys' show. He said, yeah, they don't give me a hard time. Keep everything inside the building.
Yeah.
Right, Tim.
Oh, God. And I'm just surprised it didn't even get uglier with him. Yeah.
You know?
You know, it didn't get ugly because we knew, at a certain point, we knew what he was going to do to us. We saw it coming. We were completely prepared for it, so it wasn't a surprise.
I just...
He thought he'd surprise us.
Looking at, and you know, everything is easier when you look at it in hindsight, you know, 20/20 vision. You know, I mean, I look back now and I go, why the frig did we get so worked up about that? Why did we, you know? And the reason is that we had a guy who dangled this carrot of being on in Philadelphia in front of us for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it finally came to fruition,
right,
it was like we jumped through hoops like friggin' idiots.
Yeah, we actually put more on it than we should have. And it was a mistake, and I'll never forget it. But, I mean, he was, oh, my God. And at least he thought, he really had at least a little respect for you because you were, you know, you were a radio veteran. He'd worked with you in other markets. He had, I mean, as far as I was concerned, zero. I could have been a cockroach on the desk. And didn't he get mad at me one time and say, and why is he in here?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's
and why,
right.
And why is he in here? Totally discounting the fact.
We were having just a meeting. I remember what it was. It was not a closed-door meeting.
Right.
Mike was walking down the hall because his wife had the office right across.
Right.
Mike walked by. He was busting my balls about something. And I do this quite often with Mike to get backup. And I say, hey, Mike. Come here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, yeah, hey, what's he doing in here?
Well, yeah.
Hello?
Right to my face. And then I think he got the message after that. I took that really well.
You know, we do the show together.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. For goodness sakes.
Oh, it was a lovely time in Philadelphia. I like these reminiscences. I do. I really do.
The only thing that when I look back now and I think, what did we do wrong besides everything, was we just didn't do the show that we do.
When I think about everything we've done as far as with these other markets that we've probably put too much on, you know, the fact is, you know, we should have just done what we did.
Yeah.
Did it. We should have done it in the studio that we like to be in and, you know, offered it up and here it is. I really think that makes a lot of sense.
A good example is today. You know, we started off today with a weather guy from Washington, D.C.
Right.
Talking about the fact that it's going to snow here. I know if you're listening down in South Florida, you don't give a rat's ass, but hey, won't you eventually figure out that we're doing the show from up north?
Good
and
course.
People flip out about weather up north.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's the one thing I think that if we had a chance to redo, maybe we could redo it. But,
yeah,
you know, we still suck. We probably still would have gotten fired.
And we all have hats.
You know what I mean?
Well, and it also makes me cherish the people that we have in the cities where we do very, very well. And that's the reality.
We did have one grand victory in Philadelphia. This was a great moment for all of us, really. Tim Sabian wants to fire us. Our ratings at that point, we've been on the station for about 6 months, a couple rating books, maybe two ratings books, and we had done the midday show, and they could move us back to afternoons when Opie and Anthony got canned for this sex in a church thing.
Right.
So he put us on, and he said, I really believe in the show. You guys, I'm going to give you my full blessing. But I just need some assurance. I was like, what the frig do you need? And he said, well, what I really need is for you to sign this paper.
Yeah, he wanted a guarantee.
That says, if in the first ratings book that you're on, an afternoon drive, if you're not number one in men 18 plus, I have the right to terminate the contract.
Wow.
Otherwise, we're going to have to part company right now.
And he did that.
Because he thought we would fold.
In his mind, he didn't think we had a chance in that short a period of time to reach number one. He didn't think we had a chance.
Thought he had.
But yeah. We'll take it.
He just didn't like it. He didn't like the show personally.
Right.
It was a personal feeling that he had.
Really?
That is where it came from.
It killed him. And where I am now in my life, and I'm trying to pass this on to Mike and everybody, we are not stressing out so much about individual ratings. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, God, we played that game long enough. But back then,
we sure stressed out about that one because we wanted to really shove it.
That was 3 months because we get a monthly rating and then we get quarterly ratings. So every month I would, on one hand, dread, but on the other hand, couldn't wait to get the phone call to hear how we were doing. And it was always, I could always tell.
We didn't think it was a sure thing. We actually thought, we had confidence.
It was a gamble.
In the show, but it was a real gamble on our part. And we knew it was going to be a very tough thing. And frankly, you know, we knew it would be a very difficult accomplishment if we did it. And if we did it, it would be.
I could gauge by Sabian's phone calls.
Yep.
If we had done well or not, because as weird as it sounds, he would be depressed. It would be like, I see on caller ID 215, which is Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
I go, hello. Hey, Don, Tim. Real low key. Hey, what's happening?
Oh, you guys are on fire.
Man, wow, what a month.
Okay. That's exactly how he found it. Right. It was exactly, you know when a guy's giving you great news?
Hey, you did really, really well. I'm really,
keep,
really
keep
happy
up the good work.
Something's missing.
And then the ratings came
never
out.
Never in a million years expected to see that kind of growth on the show.
The ratings came out in January, and lo and behold, we hit his number, uh-huh. and he had to keep us.
Yeah.
And don't you know that right away he said, okay, now I need you to sign another paper for the next 3 months.
Of course.
And at that point we said, wait, hold on a second. We played your game one time, dude.
Right.
And then he said, well, we'll have to let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, listen, guys, in his own mind, I think he was saying, listen, I think maybe I might have promoted the show a little too much, and I want to pull back on that and see if we can get those ratings down to a manageable low level. But it was him. It was one guy. And if one guy is running a radio station, that's just the way it's
funny. He'll just be a chapter in my book.
Yeah.
Just the Sabian chapter.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Got a lot of stuff about Tim. And no bad stuff. I mean,
no.
I think he's got a good heart. He's just stupid radio guy.
And he didn't believe in the show. I mean, it's a classic example of a program director not believing in the show. And I really do believe, after all these years of being, you know, a very big success in certain cities and not succeeding in other cities, it has really a lot to do with the guy that's picking this show to put it on his radio station. Yeah. Better believe in the show, because otherwise it's not going to work.
Hey, guys. Guys. Hey, you really did well.
You're number one, 18 plus.
You get to keep your job. Okay, I'll see you on Monday.
Thanks so much. We will not be promoting you next week. Have a nice weekend.
And here's another thing that switched right away, too. When we would go up there,
yeah.
at first he would always be at the train station.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would send a secretary to the train station.
Uh-huh.
Then we would just get a text saying, get your own ass to the radio station.
Right.
And at first there would be big signs up, WYSP welcomes Don and Mike back to Philly.
Right.
Then there'd be signs up inside the studio. And then towards the end, the other DJs writing stuff on the wall, like, Don and Mike suck ass.
Uh-huh.
And I remember saying...
And you knew it was encouraged, too.
And I remember saying to Sabian one day, you know, hey, dude, I know we're not here every day, but this can't be tremendous for morale where Cousin Ed or whoever...
Yeah, Cousin Ed was the guy.
Whatever douchebag it was writing on the walls that we suck.
Mm.
He's like, you know, hey, everybody's an artist in this business, man.
Yeah.
You got to understand, it comes with the territory.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Comes with the territory.
Thanks for believing in the show.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your unparalleled support.
Really, really behind you.
With Cousin Ed.
But Cousin Ed did very well after we left. Yeah. Way to go. Honest to God, like a stone in a pond.
Yep.
Yep, yep, yep.
Hello.
It's fun to talk
Don
to.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Jane, stop this crazy thing. Jesus Christ. All the man hours we wasted worrying about crap like that.
Yeah. Philadelphia.
Jesus Christ. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
You rock, and that's for Tim.
Yeah, right. Now,
we even made our listeners say that because he was into this whole thing about you rock. Yeah.
And that's for Tim. Thinking that we'd schmooze his little ego and that would make a difference.
Right.
Jesus Christ. You rock, and that's for Tim.
That's funny.
Please.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
Hey, my sister works for, she works at TS's building in Manhattan, and I,
TS.
Happened to run into him. He's a hungry, hungry hippo. He's gained some weight.
Oh, really?
Wow. Looks like a 5x5.
And you know he's got to be fat if Mike and I can laugh at him.
He better, be careful.
Yeah, he's got
a bad ticker, doesn't he?
High blood pressure.
Oh, no, I mean, that's not a joke. Mike and I were also in the car with this guy, and this is another bad sign. Mike and I have just been driven around Philadelphia by this guy. He's like showing us all the sights.
Mm-hmm.
And he's compulsively popping these pills.
Yeah.
And they are like real meds. And we said to him, what's going on? And he's like, he was chewing them. Nothing. I just, let's tell him, brought my blood pressure.
And of course, he didn't like it when we started laughing at that.
No, he didn't.
Didn't like that at all. Didn't care for that at all.
Trim his beard
more. Maybe it's becoming clearer to me why he didn't like us.
Oh, yeah, don't forget that Don Johnson beard that he worked on sculpting and so hard.
Anytime you would talk about Tim, you'd play the clipper sound.
Sound effect, yeah.
Wonderfully interesting man. A very stressed-out guy.
Oh.
A very high-energy, stressed-out kind of guy.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's enough of a trip down memory lane. That's where we could be heard in Philadelphia every day on WNBL. Nobody's listening. Anybody, is this a current picture?
Fairly recent, I believe.
My God.
What?
He's starting to get chubby.
Hold on a second. Take a look.
Who's that with Rush?
Oh, my God. He's Rush Limbaugh.
He's worse than Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my God.
That's bad, man.
Wow.
Hey, let's put that on our website. Where do we get that from?
That's an FS job.
Looks like he shaved.
Huh.
It looks like he shaved off his beard.
That makes
like,
him look thinner.
Tim Sabian. Wow.
He's not, I don't even recognize him.
He still looks evil.
He does.
He does.
Don't let that smile fool you.
I used to sit around and tell Mike, this guy's really a good guy.
Yeah.
Give this one a chance.
He was dangerous.
Give
man.
This one a chance. He won't screw us up, DA.
And I had it in my gut as soon as I shook his hand the very first time. I went, uh-oh.
Hey, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, Sabian also put up the no smoking signs for you guys, too.
Oh, that's, thank you for remembering. Don't you remember that as well?
Yeah, for cigars.
No smoking. Yeah. Even though the engineers who worked in the station with us every day smoked cigars and, like, swapped cigars. And I'm talking about, like, the union guys that had
right,
been there
right.
50 years right. would come out in the studio and hang out with us and swap cigars with them. And I would stand out in front of the building and smoke cigars. And one day he put up this gigantic sign.
That's back when they had engineers when we were on the air.
No,
do you remember?
Yeah.
That was another thing. We had these engineers that were all surrounding us when we were up there. And then by the end, we'd go up there. There wouldn't be anybody.
Couldn't find one to save your life.
There wouldn't be anybody around.
Right,
when
no
we
one.
Started in Philadelphia, we had people. God, I remember that one chick. She was some Philadelphia girl, like a cheerleader. Do you remember her?
Not oh, exactly. She dated one of the Eagles linemen.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, when we talk about the Cougars or we right, talk about right. The Junkettes or the dumb cheerleaders for radio stations.
Right.
This station in Philadelphia had
a couple of these girls, that's but they right. were the real deal.
A bunch yeah. of these whores. And I mean, they were like high class hookers. And they would go out and do promotional appearances for the radio station.
Yes.
And they would send her out when we first started in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
She showed up at the station all the time, like with a fruit basket and,
right. yep.
you know, like Philly hoagie steaks for us. And
she showed me them all one day. That was all. Nothing happened.
She show you her mall?
No, she didn't show me her mall.
She show you any of the specialty shops?
Specialty shops, little lunch, little wine,
Mike?
Nothing else then. And I think it was after that I found out that she was dating, like, a lineman from
right.
the Philadelphia Eagles.
An offensive lineman, as I recall.
Right.
Hold on.
Scratch you her kiosk?
Uno momento. We got to hit a break. We do have an update on the bride thing. From yesterday, remember that? We played you the audio of that, of the YouTube video?
Yes, much discussion as to its authenticity.
Well, the answer, my friends, is in.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Right after that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
To those who follow Special Olympics, he's known by one simple word, champion. You see, Jimmy has won the last six Special Olympics pentathlons. And you hear him talk.
Incredible. That guy's the Deion Sanders of retards.
The Don and Mike Show. Just very average. Don and Mike.
Right now, Tim would be looking up at that room going, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what are you doing to me? That's not Metallica, dumbass. Here's the update for you. Oh, before we get to the video. You know you've come a long way. I don't play the politics game like you do, Mike.
Yes.
Now, let's not get into a terribly heavy discussion about politics.
So you want me to keep it light?
I'd like a small bit of props. Did I or did I not say that Joe Biden's an ass?
You did.
You did.
And there's nothing, there's no way he spins out of that.
I'm from the smallest state, but I've got the biggest impact, and I've got the comb over, and forget about me plagiarizing a speech. I'm a good guy. The only person who's going to vote for him right now is Rob.
Describes Barack Obama.
Got it right here, Mike.
There
he is.
Real historic.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African American.
Yeah.
Who was articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, this got the storybook, man.
Yeah. Clean.
Clean.
He's clean.
Clean.
Decent. Storybook man.
He's clean.
Clean and a nice-looking guy.
You know what? I was listening to that comment.
And articulate. I mean, it's just like the old man comment,
well
you know?
Spoken.
So well spoken.
Right.
Of Joe Biden. And hold on, where's the thing he said about Indians last year? Here he is last year.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donut unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
That will be a very short presidential campaign. Yeah.
So anyway, that's the latest on crazy Joe Biden.
You know what's nice is
called that one.
And I kind of like Joe Biden because I kind of think he speaks his mind. But I guess we found out what's in his mind, and so that's the end of that.
Exactly. And there's the update on the bride video from YouTube that we watched and listened to on the show yesterday.
Right.
Here is the update on
incredible.
Thank you on that.
latest sensation is from Canada.
Canada.
And it is a hoax.
Oh, dear.
Hoax as called by Mike.
What are we
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is a hoax.
Yeah.
Let me see. It's gotten over 4 million hits already on YouTube.
Of course.
Do they ask? Do they find out whether it's a wig or not? Don't know about that, Mike.
Okay.
As it turns out, the lady is an aspiring actress
right.
mm-hmm. from Toronto.
Right.
In her video.
We've got to get her on the show.
We heard this yesterday. We're still on in Toronto, right? Don't we have a... I think we do. Don't we have a Canadian affiliate?
Anyone?
Didn't
Ferris?
They build a wall?
What?
Didn't they build a wall? Stop us from coming in there.
Do we have an affiliate there, one note?
I think we do, Mike. Let me see. There was a blog, Disted, outed the woman yesterday. They got tips from her. Anyway, she says, yes, she's an actress, and she wants to use this as a way to further her career.
Well, I think she did. We can all agree that she did a pretty good job. We were discussing it all day yesterday.
Right.
And I think she did a good job as an actress. She got some attention.
And somebody called us yesterday and said that it was on MySpace that she was an actress. And I guess that's where it all started to unravel for her.
Yeah, and I went, you know, I flip-flopped a couple of times. But at the end of it, after I saw the thing in its entirety,
right.
I said because of the camera and because of the reactions of some of the lesser actresses that were in the video, I thought it was a hoax.
I believe it.
The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, but you also, you believed it, but not, you know, not like you were really going out of your mind believing it.
You left a lot of room for doubt.
Well, I believed it, but I wanted you to listen to it and see it.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm a Pollyanna like that.
Well, the thing is, you know, when it
was so well done, though. It really was well
done. It was well done. The acting was well done, but the camera. The very fact that she asked for the camera to be removed and then it was there again,
right?
You know, and they just shut it off for a little tiny blip of time. That's what I thought was BS about that.
Oop, here we go. Sorry about that. Don and Mike Show. Hello, Jim.
Hey, afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, what's happening?
Real quick about that Obama comment. Al Sharpton came out today and said something to the effect of like, I don't know what Joe Biden's talking about. I take a bath daily.
Yeah,
and that's no joke.
Mean, there's no spinning out of that. There is no way he gets out of that.
Not
running for president.
When I heard that originally this morning, I thought of someone who has gotten off for someone they said. It was during Katrina. I know we've got the tape somewhere in one of these machines. Wolf Blitzer.
Mm-hmm.
I know we played the tape where Wolf Blitzer said, so poor, so black. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And
I think because of the context that it was in with Wolf,
uh-huh.
he got a free pass on that because he really was sort of speaking from the heart
and
talking about the plight of the black people down there.
We were caught up in the whole, it was right after Katrina, we got caught up in it.
But Joe Biden's making a statement that you hear like an 80-year-old man in Mississippi say, you know. And really, when you really look at it, and he says,
he's clean.
But the first, like he's the first mainstream African-American.
Right.
And then he throws in clean and a nice-looking guy.
The first who's clean
is basically what he said. The first
who's
articulate.
Okay, that's the latest on Biden.
If he had any sense of history, he would be able to identify, you know, at the very worst, the second African-American who's had that reputation.
First one. Nipsey Rasta.
That's right.
Hello, Cotton Mike Show.
Hey guys, about the bride video, I knew it was fake when the bride walked in. From when she walked in, those first 10 seconds, the way she reacts and looks at the camera and the way she looks mad, totally fake.
They're actually the factors that they contributed to it when I saw the video. You have the camera placement. That to me was number one. The second thing was the performance of the bridesmaids.
Uh-huh.
And the third thing itself was the hair. The hair was too awful. It was clown hair.
Funny. Okay, now that I've looked at it through your critical eye, I agree with the hair, but I would argue the first two points.
Okay.
The camera work was as you said, well done, but who's to say that she didn't want a videography of this thing?
She actually comes out and says, get that camera out of here. And then they turn it off for a tiny nanosecond.
Yes.
And then at the end, when she's already asked to have the camera removed, she's perfectly framed, and it's obvious that the camera is very close to
her. But isn't it
possible? And she's wigging out.
Yeah, and she is wigging out. Isn't it? That's why I was going again with a leap of faith.
You're not,
that
because
it was,
she's wigging out, she doesn't notice the camera?
No, I thought she's looking right at the camera when she says, turn it off, and if she really was wigging out, you know, maybe there'd be a person there that would tape it.
Yeah.
You know, just like,
in real life, like we said yesterday, Rob taped those guys moving a piano out of his house just because he thought there was a chance that they would drop it.
I think it was an experienced cameraman, and I do think it was a male who was holding the camera. I just had that feeling, and the way it was shot, the way the pictures were framed, the way he followed the hair down to the floor, it was a little too slick from a video standpoint to have been any regular person.
Excuse me, Buzz. It doesn't seem to me that you were stepping up with that yesterday.
Well, that's true. Well,
thank you. Thank you, then. Thank you. You can sit on your hands for a moment.
The guy calling you in the first 10 seconds.
That's a rule violation.
That is a Monday morning quarterback is always yesterday when we were throwing it open and leaving ourselves exposed. You danced on the line if you even made a comment one way or the other.
I thought we were a Monday morning quarterback.
Can you describe what the man looks like that held the camera?
No, I can't.
I was hoping you had a vision in your head.
Buzz, I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking. All I'm doing is describing my correct thoughts of yesterday.
Yeah, I still think it was real.
And all I'm doing is fessing up to the fact that I got duped.
Yes.
I thought it was real. I said it yesterday.
And no one really today can argue with your courage.
And Joe Biden's right.
Joe Biden's going to pull out of the... Do you think by the end of next week he's out of the race? Or do you think it's sooner than that?
I think by COB over the weekend. I think by the end of Super Bowl Sunday.
I think you have to come out and make your mea culpa. You have to come out and make your little speech of contrition. He's an ego. I mean,
he's got to just pull stakes and get out.
Say, that's it, I'm done.
And what you do if you want to save your ass at all, like he says, do it during Super Bowl weekend.
Right.
You know, just say real quietly, hey, you know, I'm going to make another move.
Right.
Dirty blacks. Indians at 7-Eleven, cheat on speeches, comb over hair. Delaware, smallest state. Joe Biden will be back. Goodbye, everybody.
He said he called Barack and apologized, and Barack told him, that's not necessary. I understood what you meant. That's what he says.
Barack better be careful with that.
Right.
Really? He's going to piss off the brothers with that.
I mean, seriously.
Don't be an Uncle Tom here, Barack.
I think that would be very, very scary.
If anything, Barack should turn up the blackness right now.
Yeah.
He should be like Oprah. You know how Oprah turns it on and turns it off?
You think he should go down to Joe Biden's office and, you know...
Hey, mother effer!
And they just slap him right across the face.
All of a sudden, he starts talking like Chris Tucker. What you bother me?
What you want to do is grow up and get yourself some good white folks. You want to get good white folks like me.
Right, thank you, Oprah.
He screams MF-er at him on the Senate floor.
Comes out wearing gang clothes.
Mother, father. I will slice you and not think twice about it. MFR. Now give me the keys to your car. I'll show you what a clean black man can do to you, MFR.
Well, so long to Joe. So long to Joe Biden. Yeah.
And goes number one on him.
Some for me and some for Mahoney.
Homies.
Oh, God.
Enjoy that. Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Hey, Dynamite.
Howdy.
Hey, did you hear what Biden tried to use to play that off? He was kind of making that sound like it was what my mom used to say. My mom used to say, you know, clean, neat, clean cut. So I was just leaving off the bad part.
Oh, really, I expect a little more from a guy like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I seriously do. And the more I think, I swear to God, I saw this like 10 minutes ago. And the more I read it, the more I hear him say it, it just pisses me off. I mean, maybe I'm foolishly of the...
I told you, Mike, he's a bad egg.
You did call that.
Speaking of bad eggs...
You didn't like the guy from...
Hold on a second. I got a bad egg.
Is this a tribute?
Yep.
For Joe Biden. Oh, my.
Live.
That wasn't bad.
A little message for Mr. Biden.
That wasn't bad.
Huh?
How about you, Jim? That wasn't bad. Remember that Jimmy Johnson stuff is?
How about you, Slim? Wasn't bad.
Wow.
That was a good fart right into the microphone.
Oh, God.
Yeah. First time.
First time in 2007.
First time I've farted directly into it. Hello, I think I respected this equipment in 2000.
Did you? No, I think you've done it before in this studio.
But not as bad. Not as bad a fart.
Or as good, depending on your point of view, right?
Oh, God damn.
And I know it's bad because I can smell the orange scent. That has been sprayed liberally in the studio.
No, that's Don. He's always, it's orange flavor.
It always, smells like oranges.
I'm clean.
Decent.
I'm clean.
and articulate.
Unlike all black men.
Right.
Unclean.
And nice looking.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about Joe Biden because I live in Delaware, and he's trying to pass a law that if you spank your child, that you'll get a misdemeanor.
Is that your child? My God, what is that sound? Oh, my God.
All right, well,
either that or it's a bad fan belt.
Don't worry about it, unless you, I guess, live in the state of Delaware, because he will still continue to be king of Delaware, right?
Yep.
Right. K.O.D., king of Delaware. How about you?
Hell of a job. That's a way to fight through it. How about you, Tim? Right. Wasn't bad.
God. Jimmy. Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Joe Biden came on The Daily Show last night and said, oh, it's not that he's dirty or anything. It's that he's clean in the sense that he's fresh. He has new ideas. That's what I meant.
Please. You know, wouldn't it be refreshing if Joe Biden just said, okay, listen, I got a problem with blacks. I, as Joe Biden, for white America.
I have a problem with black people.
I don't think we're ready for a black president.
Turn this into a positive. I know that I may be representing the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, but no, those really aren't my beliefs at all. My beliefs were well represented in the foolish statement that I made yesterday, but you can consider it foolish. I do not. Biden.
Joe Biden, for all that's right. I don't think that one man is cleaner or dirtier than another. I simply believe what our forefathers believe. We got to have a white man in the White House. Am I so wrong? Biden in 08.
I believe that I will maintain that theme through my entire presidential campaign.
What do you want? A black? A woman? A Republican? Or Biden?
I'm Joe Biden.
That's my message. Deal with it.
You already did the apology thing. I deeply regret any offense my remark in the New York Observer might have caused anyone. So this was a print interview that he said this.
Yeah, but that's the audio of him saying it to the guy. That's why the quality is that R2-D2 Star Wars MP3 thing. It's got that in the background.
You know, and really, I hate that it comes down to a mistake, like when Kerry got up and made the comment about the college-educated military. But, you know, really, if you're president, it's part of the gig. It's part of the deal. You want to be on that stage. You want to be on that level. You just can't have those screw-ups.
You've got to get it right.
It doesn't happen. That's the only thing that, you know, that there's no margin for error.
That's right.
As far as I'm concerned.
Mother effer!
Oh, wouldn't you love to see that?
Just put his foot on his throat. Now! You look me in the eye and tell me who's clean now!
Or if he really was just like Barack Obama is with those great speeches he gives. And at the very end he said, well, I do deeply appreciate the senator's comments and those calls that he made to me apologizing. I told him that I understand and that I believe that he seriously was one incredibly stupid cracker. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Welcome to Biden's America.
I just wanted to bring up that they were talking about Barack Obama, and when Joe Biden said that he's the first clean-cut, fresh...
No, he didn't say clean-cut.
He said clean.
He said clean. There's a big difference.
There's the thing is, he ran against Jesse Jackson in the 1988 presidential election, and he was very short-lived in that election, and Jackson actually outlasted him.
Wow. I remember that.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's run a few times.
So is he saying that Jesse Jackson is dirty?
Guy, do you think he's got a problem because of the whole fact that Jesse Jackson lasted longer than he did?
If Barack Obama is the first clean black man to run for president,
Jesse Jackson would
have been dirty.
Yeah.
Ah.
Jesse.
It might be a dig at Jesse Jackson. Who knows?
You mother effer! That's how I want all of my Afro-Americans to react. You mother effer. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, you magnificent bastards.
Hi, you mother effer. What's happening?
Hey, I'm in Delaware, and I think you guys should cut Senator Biden a...
Thank you, my friend. I keep forgetting that we're on up there. Okay. We got a lot of calls from that area. Is that 302? Is that Delaware? Hello.
Hey, welcome over.
Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, man, I hear you talking about my uncle.
Your uncle?
Yes, sir.
Your uncle Joe Biden?
Yes, sir, man. You know, he has a black daddy. Well, he has a black granddaddy.
Uncle Joe. Joe Biden.
New nickname.
That's wonderful.
So, Uncle Joe, according to you, Uncle Joe Biden has a black daddy?
Of course he does, man. You know, at least he said he was a clean black man. And, you know, he didn't say he was a dirty nigga.
So Uncle Joe Biden?
Probably.
Why? Because a caller used the N-word?
I believe probably. I have the distinct impression that was an African-American using that word, and that's why we let it go.
Did someone dump out on that?
I guess so. Looks like it was cut. It looks like it was cut. And you know who you can blame for that? Mr. Joe Biden.
Oh, I love the indecision when I look around the room. Because I've seen the light go on indicating right. that somewhere hit a button.
Right.
I know it wasn't Rob. He's just sitting back there behind me. I know it wasn't John. Oh, it was John. Oh. Hey, way to go, John.
I hate that thing.
Is that a directive?
No, not that I know of. That was a reaction. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, come on. Well, at least you stood up and admitted it.
Okay.
That's better than that. Remember we're working on that?
Yeah.
Accountability?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Right.
John?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Mike's right.
I know.
Okay, hold on. It ain't over yet, John.
I'm sorry.
Don has something else to say.
Anytime anybody says the N-word, you let it through.
Okay?
That's a good word on the Don and Mike show.
Right.
Rob's giving me the thumbs up. Isn't that right, producer? Yeah.
Shut up, Rob.
That comes right from the producer.
You stop that.
Don't you dare delete that out.
Stop it.
Especially if it's used the good way.
Everybody stop it right now.
The good way.
The good way. I almost heard it today. The N-word. I was watching the NFL channel, watching Deion Sanders interview... I don't know which rapper it was. Dirty somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Sanchez. I don't know who the guy is. The guy, he's got the grill going.
Right.
And anyway, he's way popular with the kids.
Right.
And they were talking about some song he's got that mentions Chad Johnson and a bunch of other NFL players. And Deion Sanders says to the guy, why don't you give me some of what you're doing? And the guy started rapping a cappella and got to the point where the N-word came up and stopped himself and said, because they're sitting in like beach chairs.
Right.
They're on South Beach, obviously beach, and there's nothing behind them except the Atlantic Ocean.
And he self-edited?
And he says, and it's like Deion Sanders says, give us some of what you're doing. And he's going, yo, because I said you're my girl. Because you got the nice car, because I like you so much, because you're my... Oh, I can't say that on TV. And then they had a good old laugh about it.
Yeah, sure. It is the hot button. It truly is.
That's the good way to use it.
Still is. Yeah, but you're not allowed.
I know. Of course I'm not allowed.
And Joe Biden's not allowed either.
Of course he's not allowed.
That's right. Absolutely.
We
kind of theorized that last caller was allowed, so that's why we let it slide.
That was our theory.
All right, well, anyway, let it... from now on, something like that, if it's a gray area, just look over here, Mike, and I'll give you the high sign whether to ixnay that or not.
Okay?
Don't make me call you an N-word. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how y'all doing?
Or the W word that kind of sounds like the N-word that I've heard kids use to describe. Well, let's be honest. I've heard it from Rob.
Yes, of course.
It's the only
Rob's
thing.
Liberal use of that word.
Hello.
Been all the words in my clinic.
Hello. You're on the air. Don and Mike show. Oh, hold on. Everybody's saying that it wasn't dumped out. All right. Been good.
Oh.
Hello, Tony. That wasn't dumped out?
I heard it on the air.
Oh, okay.
All right, good.
Depending on your city, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, you missed
John, you hit the button?
You missed it, John.
Oh.
What's that?
I guess I'm slow.
Okay, good.
Well, now on another note, I'm glad we have our systems in place.
Hello, Mike, if it was a big one, like F or S,
Everybody would hit it.
I'd hit the button right there.
Everybody would.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've gone completely past the N-word now. Now I'm thinking about the fact that he did hit the button and nothing happened.
Well, a light went on. He was just late.
Okay.
He was late.
Very good.
I'm right on it, Mike. Really, right here.
There it is.
I got the red button right here.
I don't have one yet.
I just hit the button.
That's fun.
Mike just said the N-word.
Now they'll have...
Mike just called me the N-word.
I did nothing of the kind.
Yes, you did. You said I'm clean.
I did not. I did not. Stop it.
I'm just kidding, because I know. The whole topic makes you a little queasy.
Yeah, I don't like it.
A little queasy. All right.
And I don't like what Joe Biden said either.
Don't blame me. Thank Joe Biden for this discussion.
I've tried to cut him a little slack. I just can't. I mean, when you're looking at that, that's the old man speaking. And then they have this picture of him in the newspaper. You see him just going, so, hey.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Coming.
Hey.
Biden is an ass. He...
he was in 88, he had to step down because he was plagiarizing his speeches. And he also
you made a reference to that, right?
I wasn't going to point that out, but yes.
You didn't like him the other day. You didn't like him before. Yeah, I mean, you made a comment about it recently. Right, actually, after he came out and he announced that he was going to be a presidential candidate.
I could smell this guy through the TV.
He does.
He's just got that slicky boy thing.
Yep, he does.
He's always available as the expert on whatever the topic is.
You're right.
If it's terrorism, if it's crime.
I've been swayed. I don't think we're going to really have to worry about old Joe Biden.
No, I don't think he'll be around much longer.
One more call here, and then we'll change the topic. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oops, hold on a second. There you go. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Yeah, that did get through, but to negate it, as a white man, I will say, keep up the good work, you crack-ass honkies.
Thank you, my friend.
On the honky.
Thank you very hard.
Honky, honky.
Let me see.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Thank you.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that to Jim Nance the other day.
But oh, come on now.
When he said love you, I said love you, too.
That's all right.
I like him.
I like it when he called back later and had that personal conversation. Don, I love you.
You love him.
But we come back. Oh, I know who we're talking to. Our buddies at our Baltimore station, 105.7, Kirk and Mark, started their morning show today.
Nice. Today was their first day?
Today was the first day.
Good.
We'll talk to them, and at some point during the show, we're going to try to give away a couple $100. And, Mike, we have one of two things. Now, we're working with the world's most incredible mimic. We have many opportunities to utilize Mike's talent.
Yes.
Keep in mind, tomorrow, we're doing our absinthe Super Bowl show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tomorrow might be a good day if we're all drinking and really effed up in here.
Mm-hmm.
To do some Lombardi.
Yes.
Super Bowl show.
Right.
But on the other hand, Harry Potter's all grown up and naked now.
Yes, he is.
So he's doing
a nude scene.
Here's the dilemma. Because, you know, we love our Harry Potter.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you've not heard our Harry Potter, we don't have time to bring you up to speed on it.
Exactly. Right? I won't do it now.
It's killer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
The question is, which would be better when Mike is pounding him tomorrow?
You know, I don't know what's going to come out of my
mouth. Which would be better? I mean, forget today's show.
They might all come back tomorrow.
Can't we have both?
Today's show is a good show. It's a great show. Tomorrow's show, I guarantee, will be a more outstanding show.
Right.
We will all be pounding absinthe starting at 3 o'clock East Coast time tomorrow.
You never know who's going to show up. I think, really, you could have a fine, fine conversation between Harry Potter and Vince Lombardi. You truly could.
I think it'd be fine.
The truth is, it's hard work.
Thank you. Take a look at my nipples.
Sorry, there's a preview.
Okay, be right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I've been asked to tell you that the following show is very scary, with stuff that might give your kids nightmares. You see, there are some crybabies out there, religious types mostly, who might be offended. If you are one of them, I advise you to turn off now. Come on, I dare you. Chicken!
Don and Mike Show. The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired. On their backs and covered in baby oil, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Every day.
You like that, Randy?
No way.
Frankenstein.
Good. No way. No way.
Do that all day, every day. That's, what's his name?
No way.
Randy Jackson, and that's...
Good.
Frankenstein.
Little kid by the name of Boris Karloff.
Here we go on our phones now. Let's say hi on our DJ hotline. It's two guys who have had some time off recently and are back now on Baltimore Radio. Kirk, Mark, you dudes there?
Yeah, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
Here you go, everybody.
Hello, fellows.
Kirk and Mark, now they started this morning on our station in Baltimore on 105.7. Mm-hmm. And for many, many years, they were heard on 98 Rock in Baltimore. And unlike a lot of the DJs in America who we absolutely hate and are petty with,
yes,
really over the years, Kirk and Mark, Edwin Lopez was alive and with them as well. I could say we always enjoyed their show and we always got the vibe that they were cool with us, and we could not be happier. You guys are on HFS now.
I learned a long time ago, man, don't wrangle with Don and Mike. I mean, you guys,
You've been doing this for a long time for a reason. I think that's to be applauded and revered. I ain't trying to get in a wrestling match with you guys. Plus, Mike has always been cool, and I just respect your talent, and I'm going to put this on the resume now.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you guys. We appreciate it.
We thought it was very nice when you guys got the gig at HFS that at the very end of the press release you said that you were happy to work at a station with us. And while we were flattered by that, you realize we'll never see each other.
Yes.
That's true. Absolutely.
We will never have physical contact. It was.
You're in Baltimore and we're here.
You should also understand that it is truly rare when anyone in this industry mentions us in a positive way in print. It is truly spectacular, and it's a special moment for us.
So, guys, how did the first show go, and what do you have for tomorrow?
Dago?
Well, hey, it was a veritable love fest. I mean, it's always fun to work with Kirk because he's smart, he's articulate, he's clean.
I like that. I do. That's good.
I just feel like I didn't expect people to be so cool on the phones. We got the first call, and the guy was like, "You got their asses." And after that, it was like, man, it's like driving to work with no coffee in the cup, you know, when you guys were on the air. It was really... it took me by surprise, and I didn't feel great this morning, so it was nice to not have to, you know, get my fur on my back all fired up. It was just sit back and let it wash over me. So,
you didn't feel well, so just, Kirk, how much did you drink the night before the first show?
Hey, I'm not turning over a new leaf. I turned over a new tree, pretty much, and I'm not even getting down, man. I went to bed last night at 9:45, but I don't think Lee Ho Fook cooked my shrimp and steak and stuff enough at... A steakhouse, Japanese steakhouse in Carroll County.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you were praying to the porcelain god this morning before you went on the air?
I got up at 4:00, 4:15. I'm not used to throwing up, and I have a nice one.
Oh, hey. My God, I can't imagine. I mean, you guys have been off for this chunk of time, and your first day back, and you got, well, you're a trooper for going in there and doing that.
And I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous.
You guys don't understand.
I had nothing to do with anything. And then I threw up after the show.
Oh, God.
So. I just understand, too, working with Kirk, I mean, this is something he's done a lot of in the past.
Throwing up during the show.
Well, dudes, have great shows every day. And know that we appreciate you guys and that you guys have reached out. And we wish you, seriously, nothing but the best.
Have a great run, guys. Well,
we want to have you guys come up to Baltimore sometime, and we'll go to an Orioles game.
We don't go to Baltimore anymore because people throw drinks on us.
We'll go to a Ravens game. We'll see you guys at a Ravens game.
That's all right, good. Guys. Keep all doing right, what dude. You're doing.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Kirk and Mark. Thanks, guys.
Very nice guys they are. They're on our station in Baltimore on 105.7.
Can you think of anything more horrible that you know you have this... this layover, you know, where you're not on the air and you're waiting to get back on, and then your debut show on the new station and your food poisoned. Wow. Lovely.
And we will always bear those scars. They're not Philadelphia scars.
No, they're Baltimore scars.
Our Baltimore scars.
The drinks.
Now, keep in mind that Baltimore is like to us, it's our second market.
It is.
We have been on in Baltimore, Jesus Christ. Over 15 years.
And we have been to Baltimore many, many, many times, both on air and off air.
For a long time, we were on a POS AM station, and when we were first on in Baltimore, there was the thought, because at the time, Howard's show came in on the satellite from New York, and people could deal with that, because it was a New York show.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, you had from Baltimore a Washington, D.C. show. Mm-hmm. And there was a bit of a rivalry between the cities back then, as there is now.
Sure.
And the thought that, the feeling that we got when we went to Baltimore... was that we were the guys who moved the Colts out of town.
It really was, for some reason, they projected, well, I guess we had some Redskins on the show at that time, and they projected that. I believe the chant of Redskins suck.
And there were no Ravens in Baltimore.
There weren't Ravens at that time.
And we went up there for opening day with the Orioles, and we were broadcasting from Pickles Pub, which is right across the street from Camden Yards. And
there was no baseball team in Washington, D.C. I mean, everybody knows that, made the trip up the BW Parkway to go see the Orioles at both Memorial Stadium and Camden Yards.
And it truly is funny now, as much as we are fond towards Baltimore, maybe me even more so than you guys going to the Ravens.
You've gone up to Baltimore a hell of a lot more than I have recently.
I go to Ravens games all the time. I love Baltimore. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I get such a good reception when I go up there. People who
But you haven't been to Larry Flint's Hustler Club.
And I have. I've driven by it, Mike.
You've driven by it. I was in there. I was walking the streets of Baltimore in a very bad neighborhood in the wee hours of the morning.
But
it's not that bad.
It is nicely amazing to me that now when I go to Baltimore or meet someone from Baltimore, they go, oh, yeah, hey, I've listened to you guys for 15 years. Right. You guys are great. I can't imagine Baltimore without you. 15 years ago, when we went up there, after we did the show from Camden Yards, I am not kidding you. People were chasing us, throwing pitchers of beer at us because they perceived we were from D.C.
Right.
We were invading Baltimore.
Right.
And we had to be taken care of.
It was a very, very strange experience. Now, in the meantime, we have done, appearances there that were great. I forgot the name of that saloon we used to go to up there. Huh. It was down in the warehouse district in Baltimore. I forget the name of it. Bohagers. That's where we used to hang out at Bohagers, and it's gone pretty well. But we're sensitive lads, aren't we? Because we still do have the scars from that.
Well, I mean, seriously, this was a day game,
and it wasn't us. Do you remember that? It was Redskins suck, and then the beverage came.
Did not provoke them.
It was a day game, like a 3 o'clock first pitch.
I remember we were throwing key tags out the window.
Yep, that's right. Because we were in an office right above Pickles Pub, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Above, and there were throngs of drunk people for opening day. A wonderful tradition in baseball. You know, play hooky from work, get loaded, and go to the game, and really usually get loaded before you go to the game.
Right,
and there we were, and. I think perhaps we were violently throwing the key tags at the crowd. They were these little...
They started it, Mike. Yeah. As I recall, they started it.
They did.
And don't you remember? Hold on. I got it. Because we were in the Over Pickles Pub on the second floor, and our windows were open.
Right.
And somebody threw a glass object that came through the open window.
That's correct.
And broke in that little office area where we were. And at that point, we said, well, screw that. If they're going to throw stuff at us,
we're going to throw it at them.
We're going to throw stuff at them.
Fair.
Early days of DJ. That's the way we reacted.
Oh, yeah?
That was responsible. Here we are doing the radio show. Wouldn't you like a key tag?
Anyway, those guys couldn't be nicer, and we wish them nothing but the best. And just so nobody at 10800 Main Street gets their panties in a royal wad about that, for the record, we're very fond of the junkies as well, even though there seems to be some type of don't talk about us on their show or whatever the friggin' deal is. Listen, any station that we're on, and especially our home stations, Washington and Baltimore, if the morning guys would like to get involved with the afternoon show, we'd be glad to turn it around and shoot it right back at you.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean like we hate you and having wars.
No. But I mean participate, talk about us, come on the show, whatever.
No, there used to be a time, and I swear to Christ, I'm not jumping down the junkie's throat. There was a time back when they did the night show when we would talk about them virtually every day on our show.
Absolutely.
And we played tapes of these guys on our show. And we had a nice rapport going with them. And then they went off and did mornings somewhere. And now we're in a building somewhere. They're in a building somewhere.
Right.
And I get this vibe from people at the station.
Yeah.
Like, what did you guys say about the junkies yesterday? The junkies are upset. You said this about them. Or the junkies took a call and someone said you were dissing them. No. We're not dissing the junkies.
No.
If the junkies want to be team players, and I don't mean that as a dick.
We completely want to be team players on this situation, and we have known those guys. Somewhere along the line, you know, people drift apart. It's the way that it's that way in life. It's that way in business. And I would love to have that rekindled a little bit. I really would. I mean, you know, we used to. You know, God, I hung with those guys on a very frequent basis, and you know, I'd love to see that happen too. I really would.
But there are all kinds of external issues.
There are external issues, and there are people that get in the way, and all of a sudden something becomes more than it is, and then you know, a little comment here that we'll say, and a little comment they'll say. But you know what? I know you don't hold any animosity to the junkies.
I'm very proud of their success, and I'm sure that they would not believe that. Frankly, at this point in my career, I don't care. I'm proud of their success. I think our show had something to do with their success, and if they don't want to acknowledge that, so be it. I'm still proud of the fact that they're doing well, and I wish they would not be strangers and at least would talk about our show so we could talk about their show. That's why we had Kirk and Mark on. Because out of the blue, these guys got hired by HFS. What's the first thing they said? Hey, we're looking forward to working with Don and Mike.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it really is part of the whole thing. I know when you came back to say, you know, have more fun, relax, enjoy it, is to, you know, enjoy what we do, enjoy the people that do the same thing that we do, and play nice in the sandbox. I think it's fun, and I think there's some good guys, some talented guys out there. And
there really is no reason for everybody be in a room pulling their junk out and putting it on the table right now, because two things. First, whenever whoever it is got into radio, I guarantee Mike and I had already been doing it for 15 years.
Right.
So don't try to tell us, because we've already been there, we've already done it. Second, we're out of this game in 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So what the freak do we have to lose by just letting down all the barriers to say, listen, come on, hey, junkies, we're not pissed at you. If you think we are, we're not. If you want to play with us, it'd be nice to have you on the same team. If
right.
not, we'd like to have that relationship with the guys in Baltimore. Just the way we're going to go out.
And ideally, both. You know,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's the way we are going to go out.
Yeah, I think that's the way it should be. And I do hope that that gets back to them. I hope the message gets back to them. You know, I know that. I know, and I remember them coming up and those guys coming up. And really, we love to have good relationships with people. I mean, sometimes it's tough to do that because you get a lot of people in between it. You get a lot of people that are in the way of it, whether that's people at the radio station or people on the phones. But, you know, I think sometimes you got to cut to the chase. So that's a message loud and clear to the junkies, and I hope they hear it.
Well, they certainly should not be threatened by us.
No.
And we are not threatened by them. So, dudes, you know, hey, we'll all get along. And, you know, really, to take this down to the last bottom level of radio DJs, you know, like there's that prick at DC 101 who just loves railing on us.
Oh, yeah. Who would that be?
Yeah, you know who he is. And I've never quite understood, this is a discussion for another time, because I'm not even thinking about our show here, I'm thinking about the junkies, the guys that do the morning show against this guy. This guy is obviously, for whatever reason, has a hard-on for us,
mm-hmm.
and likes talking about us even though we're not on the same time slot.
He may be just, I mean, and I'm not saying this, I'm not playing the games anymore, I've always felt, seriously, that he might be a little obsessed with us.
Okay, so this guy's obsessed, he loves talking about us. If I was the junkies, I'd use that as an opportunity. I would reach out to the guys. Hey, you know, the guy who is my biggest competition is jumping on your ass. Why don't we get something going to turn it around? You know, ideally, they should be fighting with him.
Right.
We're a little past that now. Like I said, you know, the expiration date on fighting with DJs is kind of gone now for us.
I had somebody walk up to me last week and bring up him, and I think they were either disappointed or surprised at my reaction. When I, you know, he said, and he made some fat comment about me, and I have no idea what it was. I didn't get the specifics of it, and I said, "All right," I said that legitimately because really, that, if they're talking about you, that's a good thing.
But does everybody get my point about this? That if there's, for instance, if there's a guy who's a pimple on the ass of radio, and this guy Elliot Siegel, I mean, the plate could not have been cleaner for him. Howard Stern is gone. They run an S-load of commercials for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Our station is in complete turmoil, upside down. This guy can't make one iota of ratings room.
Right.
This guy cannot bump in to the top three, the top five, without Howard there, with nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
And all he still wants to do is climb in the ring with us.
Right.
Really, the junkies should be on the offensive with this. If I was running WJFK, I would get on the air and say, we have a much better show in the morning of DC 101.
Which they do.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's them. They, the junkies don't, I don't think they get into the whole, you said this, so I'm going to say this. Except with us. with guys on their own team.
Right. Right. I understand what you're doing. You're offering a constructive suggestion.
Right.
And you know, and that guy has been obsessed with our show for a long time.
Anyway.
But I got news for you. We're on the afternoon. You know what I mean? It doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't really work that way.
Anyway, I'm really not making a lot of sense here. But
you are. You're just giving some random thoughts about the industry.
Yeah. It's nice to have some guys on the show, Kirk and Mark, who really got nothing to gain, except they want their show to do better by coming on our show and having us talk about
it. I think really, and the message being to the junkies, really, this radio station will do better if we rekindle a relationship
sure.
with those guys. I mean, that's the bottom line. I'm sorry. That's it. To cut to the chase and not dance around it, that really is it. I think it'll help the junkies. It'll help us. It'll help the radio station.
And we're
bottom line. And you know what? I'm all for that.
We're
and
for
I know that. I know. You know. Probably people listening to this in certain parts of 10800 Main Street are very, very happy to hear that as well. But that is the way we really feel about it. So let that be spread, you know? And, you know, I mean, it's not. But you know what? Really, there's no real war, feud, anything like that going on. Is there bad blood? Has there been bad blood in the past? Some things said that tick us off or tick them off? I'm sure. But I've never perceived it as anything that's of a significant level.
All I wanted to say, and I guess I've said it, so I'll stop it now, is at this point in my life, after everything I've been through, I really don't give a crap about the monthly ratings. I really don't give a crap about other DJs. I'd like to have a good time. And as jive as it's not that I want to give something back to radio, because I think radio is screwed up beyond belief. I don't think a Superman could save radio.
Right.
But Jesus Christ, at least we should stop this unspoken bickering that's going on between the morning show and us. I mean,
and it really is unspoken. It surfaces occasionally. You'll hear this comment made or whatever.
What it is they know that we wanted that job 2 years ago. They got the job. And then when I was going to quit a while ago, the company said, what if we gave you mornings? And they went to the junkies and they said, hey, we're thinking about putting Don and Mike on in the morning.
And I have to reiterate, the company said that. Okay,
right.
That is where it came from.
And they got pissed off all over again from the way it was relayed to me. And I relayed to someone else on the phone. Listen, if in fact we did move to the morning show, the very important part of us moving to the morning would be having an anchor show to work with. When we had our biggest success ever, we were anchored with Howard Stern.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the problem with saying that?
And we had a kind of a gentleman's agreement with Howard that lasted a good many years.
What's the problem with saying that? We had some ratings where we were higher than Howard's, some ratings where he was higher than us. But we were both loosely on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least there was some sort of a truce.
There was a truce.
That was brought between us. And we don't have to have a truce with the junkies. We never really fought with the junkies.
Right.
You know, guys, you got the job. Congratulations. 18 months from now, I'm going to be sipping a Mai Tai down in Ocean City, and Mike's going to be getting hammered at his restaurant every night.
Hopefully.
You know, you guys will be.
As I always say, I don't have the money you have.
Mike will be living with me. You know, we've never really considered that. But are we going to Atlantic City together in a couple of weeks?
We are. And we're actually, if you have that spare bedroom, I would appreciate that.
Okay, well, that's enough of this kumbaya crap. Okay?
Yeah.
Got it out of my system.
Absolutely.
There it's gone. Why can't we get along, for goodness sakes?
Absolutely. I think, you know what? I know this. I do hope this gets back to them.
Yeah.
And I hope they understand where we're coming from on this.
I hope they take it in the...
You know what? And if they don't, as I said, it is not anything where there will be animosity on that. If they don't, it'll be...
No.
And really, I don't want to diminish it because I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. When you say, I don't care, I feel the same way. It's not going to... It's not going to be anything one would lose sleep over, but it would be really nice. I think it would be really nice if we established a relationship with those guys. I find those guys, personally, you know, on a social level, going out with those guys to be a hell of a lot of fun. I like those guys. I really do.
The real problem here is that no one has ever sat, it's been a problem the whole time we've worked at this radio station. No one has ever sat down and said, you know, hey, listen, the Oakland Raiders didn't really like each other, but they all played together good on game day.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what do we have to lose? We have a guaranteed contract. I've got a different outlook on things. We're not a threat to anybody. Listen, hey, junkies, it's going to help your numbers if you cross-promote a little bit on our show,
mm-hmm.
like the guys in Baltimore are. We're throwing that out as an option. And I'm not saying you got to call the show and suck up to us. Do like you used to. Let us run just a reel of tape on Johnny Cakes with everything he says during a show, and we'll just use it on our show.
Absolutely.
And that's a great way to promote both shows.
Right.
Or would it be such a crime for the junkies to say one morning, hey, I was driving around yesterday and listening to Don and Mike. Why does it have to be, I was driving around listening to radio, but not to our station? But and that is the unspoken vibe that you get. And I'm as guilty that I have said on occasion, I was listening to the morning show.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So I'm saying I'm as
yeah, it's silly. It is silly. And when you say that, that makes me realize how silly this thing is. Because there was a relationship there. And now logistically, you know, if before people say, hey, we went our separate ways, we really didn't. Logistics dictated that. I mean, these guys went up to Baltimore. You know, they went to another radio station, then they did morning. So logistically, it's not like it used to be. There was a time, as you said, Dom, when we used to hang out with those guys because they would come on after us. And, you know, occasionally we'd get together and that would work out really nicely.
Well, that's the end of Radio 101. It's just, you know, the people that work at the sinking ship known as 106.7 should band together rather than fight each other because there are other douchebags out there that need to be fought like the hyena.
Amen.
On 101. I mean, Jesus Christ. And, you know, if I'm the junkies, I would just get on every single morning and say, hi, listeners, tuned to 101.1, and if you like it, you're retarded, and if you don't like it, we'll see you back in 60 seconds.
Oh, and one thing about the hyena, that restaurant that he used to promote in Manassas, just to spite me and to actually get on and give them a lot of free advertising,
right.
I just like to say, hyena, I'm really, really sorry that they went out of business. That's all. Just thought I'd pass that along. Understood they had some nice hamburgers.
And that guy's whole deal, to be truly honest, is he just wants to beat us in the worst way.
Yeah,
Elliot Siegel,
contract issue.
Elliot Siegel.
I think he heard about our contract.
I'm sorry you don't make a lot of money. I'm sorry you've never been number one. I'm sorry that you've been in Washington, D.C. for 5 years, and everywhere you go, people must just say to you, your show is good, but did you hear what Donna Mike said today? Okay. I'm sorry, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but you're picking a fight with the wrong guys.
Get over it.
We're not on against you. You asswipe. There you go. How's that?
I would say asshat.
How's that?
I would say asshat.
From DJ back and forth.
It almost sounded sincere.
How about that?
It almost sounded really bad.
Yeah, almost.
You just
scared.
Can't get it like I used to get it.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. Me too.
I was, and this was somebody who said something to me and gave me the whole thing, and I literally smiled and went, "Oh, really?" and the look was, "Hey, aren't you going to get mad?"
Yeah.
And you just, we've been doing this an awful long time. We know how the game works.
And, Mike, let me just say this to Bill O'Reilly as well. Billy, call into the show someday.
Please. And let me say to you, F no.
Let me also say this.
Oh, no. Is this for Bill O'Reilly?
Both ends.
There we go. Rob has moved. I hope that gets back to him, to the other side of the studio.
There you go.
That was ludicrous.
Ludicrous.
Oh.
Spray, Rob, do we have the orange spray?
Yeah, but I got it. Yeah.
That is a foul fart. That smells like excrement.
Well, of course.
Well, why would that be?
Why would that be?
What did you eat? You haven't been farting like that in years.
I had an excrement sandwich today. I had excrement and rye.
Mike,
where are you going?
Mike's
leaving. I'm going out. That's not me.
Oh, come on.
No, over in that corner.
Don't you want to be my friend?
I do, but that's horrible.
Why doesn't anybody want to be my radio friend?
Just a minute. You were asking to live with him.
Just citrus spray. Yeah. That citrus spray really.
Okay. Oh, God damn it. We got a break.
I love penicillin, but I wish we didn't need it.
1 to 10. How bad was that fart? Seriously.
It was seriously, in the years that I have worked with you, it was in the top 5.
Give it a number grade, Mike.
I'm going to give it an A. You've had A plus pluses.
That's a letter grade. A number from 1 to 10.
A number from 1 to 10?
Uh-huh.
That windage was a good solid 9.5.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. It was short of a 10, but it was a 9.5.
Thank you.
Usually the 10s are when you've been ill.
You were nearly nauseous there, I could see.
It caught me by surprise, right. And I got like a mouthful.
It's still hanging low, too.
It'll linger.
It smells like excrement. Just like.
Shocker.
Okay, well, listen, that's enough behind the scenes in radio. I think we've done enough good for today, right?
Yeah, I think we've done a lot of good, and the message is out to the good junkies over on the morning show, and I'd like them to get that message.
This is now the second time that I think we've done a good break on today's show, and again, I think after the first break, I thought we should have left then.
Yeah, we should have left then.
I just think, exiting is always, as Bush is finding out, it's very hard to find a good exit strategy.
And, well, you just found an exit strategy. That's for sure. Your exit strategy is all over this room.
Yeah, I'm in Brownsville, man. Welcome to Brown Town.
That's excrement.
Smells like it.
Ooh!
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The tens are winning.
You don't call retarded people retards.
Right.
It's bad taste.
Thank you.
You call your friends retards when they're acting retarded.
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Could have said it better myself. Hey, tomorrow's Super Bowl. It's a Super Bowl show. We're going to be drinking absinthe, the green fairing.
Right. Yes, it's being chilled as we speak.
During the entire show tomorrow. Oh, and I'll have the Super Bowl attire for us to wear.
Oh, very good.
Everybody gets a shirt tomorrow. Buzz already has his.
Yes, I do. You got any double X's? Who's your buddy? Thank you. Got you covered.
See you tomorrow. Tomorrow, the absent Super Bowl show. Plus, Mike will be doing Lombardi and Harry Potter naked at the same time. And while we're getting absolutely butt-faced on absent,
uh-huh,
we'll be talking about the game with, among other people, Jay Glazer, Jim Nance, and just about every other serious football guy that we can get.
It'll be football talk and silly talk.
They don't know it will be silly talk.
Oh, no.
They will think it will be football talk.
They do, and it really won't be.
That's tomorrow's episode. Big Super Bowl show.
I can't wait.
Tomorrow. Here is an American Idol bulletin for you. You ready for that?
No way.
Too bad, Randy. Here you go. The Courtney Love thing about her replacing Paula Abdul.
That was quite a bombshell you mentioned yesterday, but she said she was going to maybe be considered.
Yeah.
Hoax?
No, the producer of American Idol says, I did call Courtney Love. Then, that's Nigel.
Right.
Then the producer's named Simon.
Right.
Not Simon. Simon Fuller.
Different guy.
He says, no, Nigel's wrong. We never called Courtney Love. She called us.
Ah.
Then Us Magazine says, Courtney Love says that not only did Nigel call her, but Nigel said it was okay to call Us Magazine to tell Us Magazine that they were thinking about replacing Paula Abdul.
That's BS.
With, yeah, Courtney Love.
I think that's BS.
Yeah.
So, Courtney Love on her website says now that all of the conversations that she had with Fox executives were friends of hers, Frank, calling her.
Oh, no. Now I'm confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you've got statements from Nigel and Simon.
Yes, you have one of them saying that they did talk to her, one of them saying that they didn't talk to her.
Do you think that the prank callers went the other way? That maybe called Simon Fuller, and I didn't mean it that way.
No, here's what I think. I think it's true only because Us Magazine got drawn into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That at some point, Us Magazine, not that they're the bastion of journalistic integrity, but at some point, Us Magazine would say, okay, Courtney Love,
mm-hmm,
you've been offered the job. We got to verify this before we can run with it.
Right.
Anyway, here is what Courtney Love wrote on her website yesterday.
Oh, man. She's a good writer.
This kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle?
K-E-R-F-U-F-F-L-E.
I like that word. Kerfuffle.
Is nonsense.
It's also what she calls her Daisy.
Yes.
I said to a friend who obviously passed it, and she spells it I-G-T, the wrong way, it was a weirdly brilliant prank call. If it was not a prank call, I would, spelled incorrectly, never do that. I've never watched that show once except.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's how she writes.
That, oh, my God.
Exactly what's on her
you
website.
You can go to her website anytime and read stuff like that.
She's got like the Tom Gavin writing.
She has a hard time.
Oh, my God.
Another website that you want to go to, played you some of the Paris Hilton tape earlier.
Right.
Where's that one cop, Robbie, of her smoking pot? Hold on.
Hi, bitches.
Hi, bitches. Yeah, the best pot. You want to smoke pot?
Yeah.
I'm the best pot. Let me get it. Dude, we're smoking pot if you guys want to smoke. Me, Tori, Liz, Nikki. Hi, bitches.
All right, this is she saying I have the best pot?
Hi, guys.
Yeah, she says. She says a lot more.
She
first says, "I have the best pot."
I have the best pot.
This is from ParisExposed.com. This is from New Year's Eve,
right?
Just about a month ago. Among other things, she says, "I'm a fat, ugly Jewish bitch. I'm a little Jappy Jew. I am a little black whore. I get F'd in the A for Coke."
Wow!
And they are desperate. They are broke and ugly and poor. And then later, she's so pleased with her skills, she says, she and her sister are like two N-words.
Wow.
There's that word again.
In the nice way. She's anyway, a naughty little girl.
Here's some of the tape of Paris Hilton. Here she is. Now, some of this is beeped out. Here she is about broke, ugly, and poor.
They're all broken, ugly,
Here she is now, ugly Jew bitch.
What are we saying about these desperate? We are desperate. She's in love with a fat, ugly Jewish.
Wow.
And here she is saying she'd get F'd in the A for coke.
I get F'd in the butt for coke.
She says, I get F'd in the butt for coke. Want to hear it again?
Sure.
I get F'd in the butt for coke.
I don't doubt that for a second.
Then here's, we're like two happy N-words.
Will you guys film me and my sister?
Yeah. Is there Hilton? Hilton's there.
We're like two
f***ers. We're so lucky to have her.
And here she is.
She's such a national treasure, isn't
Jappy,
she?
Jappy Jew.
I'm a little Jappy Jew.
Wow. Is this recent, Paris, or
this
is it from years ago?
No, this is New Year's Eve.
This past New Year's Eve.
A month ago.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
I think my favorite would be F'd in the butt for coke.
I get F'd in the butt for coke.
Although Jappy Jew is good, too.
I'm a little Jappy Jew.
Hard to pick a favorite, man.
This is quite a kerfuffle.
It is a kerfuffle.
Don't you think?
Isn't it, IGG?
No way.
I'm a little Jappy Jew.
No way.
Hi, bitches.
Everybody,
turn
pot here.
Yeah, the best pot. We were smoking pot, if you guys want to know. Me, Tori, Liz, Nikki. Hi, bitches. Hi, guys.
Keep telling me again she's my generation's Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Really makes her more likable, doesn't it?
Yeah. American royalty.
And doesn't it sound like that tape, when you hear that, doesn't that sound like she's, you know, back behind some club with paparazzi and fans taking her picture and shit?
I get f***ing
I get F'd in the butt for coke.
That's right.
In a major accomplishment, she's given sex and drugs a bad name.
Oh, that's too great.
I get F'd in the butt for coke.
All right.
Let me see. Tomorrow.
Well, money buys class.
When we are doing the show tomorrow, the absinthe show, I have got so much Super Bowl crap that I'm sure I'm going to be too drunk to get to tomorrow. For instance, I got a lot of myths about the Super Bowl.
Agreement.
That are either true or not true.
Is the first myth that it's a good game? You know, as far as the it's probably the most hyped game in the history of the Super Bowl. They're pretty consistently bad games.
Yeah. No, it's nothing like that. It's stuff like
urban legends.
No. Like, here's one. I remember one. The Super Bowl city makes hundreds of millions of dollars because the Super Bowl comes to its city,
and that's a myth.
That is fake.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that.
Let me see. There's a story in yesterday's USA Today that says in Miami that Miami will make $350 million from the Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. The mayor of Miami said maybe after everything we clear $30
million. $30 million. So it's not the windfall they say. I mean, I think the reason for that is, with all the tourist attractions and everything hitting on all that, they also have to provide an incredible amount of security for the city.
Hold on, Mike. 2/3 of all avocados are bought within 3 weeks of the Super Bowl to make guacamole dip.
False.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. It's a myth. How about this one? More people call in sick the Monday after the Super Bowl than any other day of the year.
True.
That is true.
Very good.
That is a fact.
Right.
Jack,
mm-hmm.
7 million people. How about this one, Mike? 1 billion people around the world watch the Super Bowl.
1 billion? I'm going to say not true.
You're right again. Again, it's who it's available to.
Right.
They make it available to every stinking Chinaman, but not everyone in China is going to watch the game.
And it's usually in the millions. You hear them say the millions in this many countries.
Sure. Okay, here's one for you. Americans drink more beer.
I'm on my second beer.
Hey, stop it now.
Americans drink more beer on Super Bowl Sunday than any other day of the year except New Year's Eve.
False.
That is false. You're good.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day, I would think.
No, it just says it's a regular day.
it's a regular
Monday.
Day.
How about this one, Mike? Right after the Super Bowl, there are statistically more car accidents in America.
Yeah, I think I heard that once. I'm going to say true.
God, you're good at this. God, we should go on,
I'm 100%
sober. We should go on password or something. Yes, fatal car accidents go up 41% in the 3 hours after the Super Bowl.
Lots of people going from house to house and party to party.
Non-fatal accidents go up 48%, and the biggest jump is the city that has the losing team.
That's why I will not be leaving my house on Super Bowl Sunday.
Buckle up, guys.
Okay.
Yep. Buckle up.
Have you heard this one? The Super Bowl stock indicator. I'd heard this one since I was a kid. It's either one or the other. If an original AFL team wins, the stock market goes up. Or if an original NFL team wins, the stock market goes up. There is a history to this. Is that true or false?
I'm going to say true.
That's the first one you got that.
Oh, you sold it well. You sold it well.
No, yeah, sorry. Ridiculous.
It's total ridiculous. Myth. No. I thought it might be one of those little statistical anomalies.
Of course. All right, Ann, let me see. I got one more for you. Mike, calls to gambling addiction hotlines increase in the 12 hours after the Super Bowl.
False.
That one you're wrong about.
My string is broken.
That one is a fact.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That button is right near the chime button.
Right.
That is a fact. Gamblers Anonymous says we get more calls the day after Super Bowl. And the Monday after the Super Bowl is their busiest day of the year.
Sure.
That's pretty funny, though.
Because everybody that's...
They really lost, I put $10,000 down on it.
Everybody lost their asses coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you did good at that.
I do. Well, a lot of beer statistics.
God damn, you did good at that.
I know my brew. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to... And, you know, the one thing is, I like all this Super Bowl stuff. Oh, are you doing it again?
Oh, dear
God. I want to live with him. Oh, my. No, I think I'll pass. Now I'll be living over the garage. Get that spray.
Hey, come on. Give it a chance.
You want to grab that can when you
Hey, a little premature.
No. You could enjoy it yourself, but no.
Mike?
It don't smell that bad.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't smell like excrement this time. Really, that was just pretty much air coming out.
Yeah, but bad air.
This is called, you know what this can is called? This can of aerosol citrus spray?
What's that?
This is an insurance policy. There we go.
Oh, hold on. You know what, Mike?
I love that. I love that smell. Yeah, nice.
Oh, that does smell like excrement. you were right about all of them except the last one. I was wrong about the Super Bowl one. They just told me this one. And that is true.
Which one? Which one?
If an old AFL team wins, the stock market goes down.
Yeah, I thought I heard that.
If the NFL team wins, the stock market goes up. You were right about that one as well.
There we go.
Wow.
Fantastic. And I'm glad I was able to get those correct answers before the green cloud.
Smell my farts. Come on. Smell them.
No.
Let's put 10 minutes on the clock.
Uh-oh.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah. I know what it means.
Nice cue on that. That means... Who is in the hot seat? Oh, I know.
It's Norman.
Yanni Norman.
Oh, right? He's tough. He's a tough nut.
Our associate producer, John Norman, has been in the hot seat before. We've played Make Johnny Laugh twice.
Yes.
And we have not gotten a winner.
No one has ever been successful. It's part of the reason that the jokes aren't that good, and the other part is his hateful nature.
We will put 10 minutes on the Big Bad DJ clock. And you called 877-365-3636. Try to win $30.
Oh, and I want to say to John Norman, John, thanks for giving me a ride home tomorrow. Because I might forget to tell him that tomorrow.
Call now at 877-365-3636. Rob is being funny. We will give away much more than
$30. Rob. 35?
Right. We'll give away $100. If you make John laugh.
Good luck.
Again, it can be a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a story.
Yeah.
It can be a nugget, a factoid.
But this is radio, so no sight gag.
It's just got to make Johnny laugh. We'll be right back. So call now, you animal.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Here we go. This would not work.
If girls with big boobs work at Hooters, where do girls with only one leg work at? IHOP.
The Don and Mike Show.
When I make it out.
laughed at that, didn't you?
I laughed at it because it was a little one telling it was cute. Is that Two and a Half Men? Is that what that's from?
Yes, it was mine.
Do not know whether to laugh or cry at your ignorance. I shall laugh. Ha-ha.
It's the B-Emmy Award-winning Don and Mike Show.
All right, here we go.
It's appropriate for today.
877-365-3636. Hey, was that a fart comment?
Well, I'm making them, too. You don't know, though. I'm fortunate that on this particular day, mine are not toxic today.
Mine are beautiful.
Mine are beautiful.
They are. I'll stand by them all day long. John, have you been able to smell my farts three studios away?
No, fortunately I have not.
Can you smell anything when you walk in this room?
A lot of citrus.
Yep.
That's a good thing. Powerful stuff. Citrus too, all natural. There's a plug for them, Rob. We should get another case.
It used to smell like excrement in here.
That's what I understand.
877-365-3636. Put 10 minutes on the clock.
I've got it.
Name of the game is Make John Laugh.
Number one. On this little description of what it kills, organic waste odors.
Yes. You're singing my song.
Sure are.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make John laugh. And again, if you just make him laugh, you win $100 and some other prizes we've got. Go. Hi, you're on the air.
What do you call a pig that lies to everyone about being a fag?
What's your name, sir?
Clay Bacon.
Ah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
Don and Mike, what's the difference between a brand new Ford Mustang and a pile of dead babies?
Don't know.
I don't have a brand new Ford Mustang in my garage.
Dead baby jokes were very popular in the late 1970s.
Al Cooper loved them.
Mm-hmm.
Not Al Cooper, Alice Cooper.
Alice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there, guys. My name's Cody. What did the no arm, no leg baby get for Christmas?
What?
Cancer. All right.
A little smile from some of us in the peanut gallery.
I love Don and Mike Show.
Hey, and a smile from John Norman,
yes,
too.
Wow, that's not funny.
Hello. Make Johnny laugh. Hello.
What's the worst part of four lawyers in a Cadillac going over a cliff?
Losing the Cadillac?
Yeah.
9 minutes!
Very nice, John.
How much, Robbie?
9 minutes!
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
Hi. What do you call a cow with no legs?
How long have you been in a wheelchair?
Ground beef.
Oh, sorry.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
No, that was terrible.
That was.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's delayed anger.
Make John laugh.
Hello, it's you. Come on.
No, come on, we'll go to this guy. Hello, Don and Mike Show. We're a girl. Hello.
What's the difference between a toy and a sex toy?
Don't know.
Location.
Can I ask a favor when you're getting the jokes?
Uh-huh.
Instead of going, don't know. Can you maybe just say what or like repeat the just in the spirit of the joke?
Sure,
you know,
no problem.
Instead of don't know.
Play along.
You sound like
no. way.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh. Hello.
8 minutes.
Don't know.
There. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
We got home the other night, and our dog was waiting for us at the door when we got home, and pretty bad smell, and wife, she just went off on the dog, yelling at her, screaming at her, what more can you do? And that dog left all that she had left in her in a big old puddle right on her shoe. So you guys may not laugh, but I laugh.
Larry the Cable Guy, ladies and gentlemen.
I laugh.
Yes, for Don.
I loved his delivery.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
Don Norman.
Hello.
Why do Mexicans wrap tamales?
I have no idea. Why do they wrap tamales?
Thank you.
They have something to open on Christmas.
I'm sorry?
So they have something to open on Christmas.
You know, I really challenged you there because I know your initial reaction was to go, don't know.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
Hello.
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 Hey, I'd like to ask Johnny if he'd like to go to a tailgate. I'll bring the meat. He just needs to bring his grill.
Ha, 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 ha.
I don't even get that.
No, I do.
What's funny?
Sounded very abusive.
What's funny about that, John?
He was going to rape.
Okay,
I didn't get that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, fellas?
Hello, Mike.
Think everybody wants to do that,
Johnny?
Yeah, make Johnny laugh.
What did the cannibal do when he dumped his girlfriend?
I don't know. What did he do when he dumped his girlfriend?
He wiped his butt.
You like that?
That no. made me laugh.
You like that?
It's not, the game is not make me laugh.
What's wrong with you?
Come on, you smiled.
I did smile.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
Hello.
Hello. If it was me and Mike, you'd be a winner.
I don't know.
You'd be a winner
nice
all the way. What's wrong with you, John? Don't you know funny? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Hey, what did Cinderella say when she got to the ball?
I'll tell you what made that funny was John giving the punchline.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Yanni laugh.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there. Go ahead. Make John laugh.
A little black baby is born with wings. He asked God if he's an angel. God said, no, you're a little black bat.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
I don't get
it. What do you call a deer with only one eye?
What?
One-eyed deer.
I have no idea.
Oh.
Oh.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Stop stepping on these great punchlines,
John. I'm sorry.
John.
I'm so sorry.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
Hello.
Hello, it's you. Hello.
What kind of bees make milk?
What kind of bees make milk?
Yeah.
What kind?
Boobies.
Halfway. Oh, Mike's guilty on that one.
That was a smile, and I inhaled a little.
Hello,
bit.
Don and Mike Show.
I can't look at you.
Make Johnny laugh.
I know.
Hello.
John.
Yes.
What has two legs and bleeds a lot?
I don't know. What has two legs and bleeds a lot?
Half a cat.
Oh, sorry, cat joke.
Made,
not
made Mike laugh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, how many kids with ADHD does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Hold on, you got to give us that.
How many kids with ADHD does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Yeah.
How many?
One red bike.
Mumbles, sorry.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Make Yanni laugh.
Hey, Johnny.
Hello.
Hey, Johnny. Hey, you know why Don has such a problem with the back door?
No, why?
All the time he spends as a child in the mud room with Aunt Lola.
Well, that's not even funny. That's like
nice
a true story
though.
From my life.
Was it technically a mudroom?
I thought it was a closet.
I thought it was a closet, too.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been a mudroom. I think that's what Aunt Lola wanted.
He would have gotten points, though, for his historical accuracy if it was really the mudroom.
She wanted my butt like everybody does.
Sure.
My butt on in my show. Put that on my business card. Hello.
John.
Make Johnny laugh.
Hello.
Hey, John. My girlfriend told me to give her 12 inches and hurt her, so I stuck it in.
Hello, Donna, Mike.
Rob, how'd you make that call from over there?
Call Dateline.
Make Johnny laugh.
Hey, John.
Hello.
Hey, Johnny.
Hello.
John, if a turtle has lost his shell, is it naked or is it homeless?
I give up. Which is it?
I'm asking Johnny. It's homeless.
Is that the joke?
Is this guy like doing Jerry Seinfeld?
I have no idea. I hate it. But it's compounded by a bad cell phone.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Yanni laugh.
I was in a perfectly good mood.
Hello.
Hello.
Make Yanni laugh.
Gab sandwich puss on top. Monkey vomit camel snot. Chopped up gophers eyeballs too. Gab sandwich just for you.
I'll be over for dinner.
I enjoyed that.
Again, that worked with me and Mike.
Yep.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, can I make Johnny laugh?
I don't know. Can you?
I doubt it.
I'm trying. Johnny, do you know why Jesus died on the cross?
No, I don't.
They left him up for too long.
Bad cell phone.
Maybe ruined a great
Jesus. Bad cell phone. You might have had a chance. But, get another provider.
Don and Mike Show. Hello. Make Johnny laugh.
Hi. What did Jesus say to the Mexicans the last time he saw them?
What?
Don't do anything till I get back.
We've had that one before.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
Hey, what's the difference between a microwave won't brown your meat?
Hello, Don.
Don
and Mike Show, make Johnny laugh.
Yes, Johnny, what are you giving to cross a polar bear with a seal?
Polar bear and a bear, I can't even say it. Have no idea, sir.
A polar bear.
Hold on a second, wait.
What do you get when you cross a polar bear and a seal?
Yes.
And you said polar bear.
Yes.
Explain it.
That's funny, why?
The polar bear eats the seal.
Did you make that up yourself?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, you had to. You had to.
That's a retarded made-up joke.
That, sir?
Hello, Don and Mike show. He is wasting our valuable time with his made-up jokes. Hello, make Johnny laugh.
Johnny.
Hello.
What did the tampon sing to the fart?
What did the tampon sing to the fart?
What?
You are the wind beneath my wings.
Wouldn't that be a maxi pad?
Come on, that's funny.
Yeah, you know, you got technical on him.
Uh-oh.
1 minute!
Uh-oh.
One minute.
1 minute. Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Johnny laugh.
It's you.
Go.
What? Or not.
No time for slackers. Hello, make Johnny laugh.
Hi, what's going on?
Make him laugh.
Hey, what's the difference between the Raiders and a tampon?
No idea.
Well, the Raiders only have one string, and they're only good for one inning.
One inning?
One inning, right.
One inning. Wow.
Thanks, faggot. Hello. Don and Mike, Steve Kingston calling in.
Well, I knew. How many points?
Make Johnny laugh.
Three old ladies named Gertrude, Maud, and Tilly were sitting on a park bench having a quiet conversation when a flasher approached from across the park. The flasher came up to the ladies, stood right in front of them, opened his trench coat. Gertrude immediately had a stroke. Then Maud also had a stroke. But Tilly, being older and more feeble, couldn't reach that far.
I hate it when people read jokes out of like Reader's Digest. Hello, Don and Mike.
I read that in Reader's Digest just last week.
Oh, dear me.
That means it's bonus time.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Bonus time. One random caller.
How much were we going to offer? $100?
We'll make it $1,000 American.
Oh, my God.
One call. We're running late tonight. Sorry, Buzz. We screwed the news a little bit. Try not to make that happen again. Let's take one call for Yanni. One last call. Hello, Don and Mike show. For $1,000, make it laugh. Go.
What is the worst part of the 69th view? Because you're looking at the butt.
Yep, the view.
Thanks for telling us.
Yeah, thanks for the explanation.
Because you're looking at the butt.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't win.
No, you didn't.
Hard to believe.
That's how we play. Make Yanni laugh.
Thanks to everybody.
Once again.
John, I stand by you. I think you did a good job today.
Making him is like the Berlin Wall.
Yes. He is. But he really has yet to get a great one. I mean, really, he is so stoic when he's in here, but he hasn't gotten a great one yet.
Well, that means the money goes back, and so does the DVD grab bag.
Yay! Okay.
That's a great surprise. You've won the DVD grab bag. Why not, not to continue a theme, why not just give away a bag of excrement? I mean, if we're talking about a DVD grab bag.
No mention of the DVDs in there?
You've been too busy to provide that prize.
Hold on.
Here's
a couple are mentioned. Maybe.
All the King's Men.
Oh, that's not a bad movie.
And the second season of Boston Legal.
Oh, excellent. And Beethoven.
That's why it's a grab bag.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
All right, well, no winners. No winners except for you, the listeners.
Right.
We'll be right back with Buzz and Two.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crapbot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Come and lick the dot of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Lick it. Buzz Cash right now brought to you by Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wing Sauce. Frank's Red Hot Sauce wants to make you the halftime MVP of the big game. Use Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wing Sauce to create restaurant quality wings. Now, here's a tall, cool one. Frank Elston. Hello, Frank.
I thought it was like, crazy as it sounds, and I swear this is true, the United States has a proposal for fighting global warming. Block out the sun. That's correct. The U.S. is telling the U.N. that scientists should focus on ways to block the extra sunlight that's getting through our atmosphere, either by using giant mirrors or a worldwide sunscreen made of reflective dust pumped into the upper atmosphere.
No way.
No way.
Wow. Smoke and mirrors. What could possibly go wrong? The Bush administration's lobbied for this to be part of the U.N. recommendations on global warming, which are due out tomorrow. The U.S. is not supporting the worldwide treaty that would limit the emissions that are said to cause.
Now, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. I think if you pay attention real close, like,
we are getting dumber and whatnot. I think we may be getting a little dumber than we were, and we were real dumb to start with.
You're right. Officials in Boston are still mightily pissed about the Cartoon Network advertising that
just cracked
literally
me up
shut
story.
Down parts of Beantown yesterday.
Buzz, you had this as your lead story yesterday,
right.
and rightly so. Mm-hmm. Got home last night, saw a little bit on the evening news, right. read the newspaper today, read some more on the internet.
Right.
And on one hand, while I can see why TBS is in such hot water over mm-hmm. this, they were like light. Did you see a picture of these things?
I have not seen a picture
okay.
of it.
You know the Light Bright toy that
yeah.
you get for your kids?
Right.
It's a Light Bright toy that has like a. What they've done is make a silhouette image of the characters on this cartoon show.
And are they flipping people off? Is that what they do?
Yes. Or yeah, there was one that had the finger in the air. Right.
Does it resemble in any way? Could it resemble an explosive device if you saw it?
Here's a,
batteries,
yeah,
wires,
here's
lights.
The thing, yeah, maybe, but. Didn't they also say they, and you had this on the news as well, it was in, like, New York, Philly, Chicago, L.A.
I guess Seattle was the city where they didn't even report it.
A million different cities, only in Boston.
They went crazy in Boston.
Right.
Yeah, and you see it, and it looks like a child's toy. Now, mm-hmm. granted, it's close up, and you're seeing
right.
it when it's been taken off the underpass.
Well, if you think about Boston as a city, you really have to give it credit because it's been, you know, it's all about warning. You know, you go all the way back to Paul Revere. I mean, they like to warn people. They're very, very good at that. They really are.
Here's the whole story as it is at this moment. Bridges were closed by this incident. Bomb squads were deployed. They have now arrested two of the people who planted the magnetic battery-lighted signs.
One of them was Carl Yastrzemski.
To feature a cartoon character giving a And the city's made it clear that having spent $500,000 yesterday to track down, remove, and in one case detonate the signs, it would like that money back.
That's the one that I laughed at. I mean, when I heard, and I know, obviously people thought it was something very serious.
Right.
But when I heard that the police, who are trained to kind of identify this stuff, detonated one of these things, I had to laugh. And did you hear the press conference or the guys coming out of the courthouse?
No.
Where they told them not to talk about this and to change the subject, and they started talking about their hair. They were completely, like, laughing at it.
I know, yeah. City officials are recommending that other Bostonians be mightily pissed at the Cartoon Network as well, urging viewers and advertisers to hold Turner Broadcasting to account for this false alarm. Turner Broadcasting, which owns that network, the Cartoon Network, has apologized.
Listen, they can apologize from here to Kingdom Come, but you know that today they're having a meeting. They're saying, we got this stupid cartoon that really, except for guys who like doing bong hits at 3 in the morning and getting their jerk-on watch... other than that, no one knew this show existed.
Right, yeah, right.
In every freaking newspaper, on every TV show,
right.
you now know there's a character that's like a meatball.
Right.
There's a character that's a package of French fries. And there's a character that's maybe a hamburger or something. Is that what the
right,
third
yeah.
one is?
Hamburger, fries, and a shake, I think, are the three characters.
Right.
The three main characters.
They more
uh-huh.
than got their money's worth on this.
Yeah, and I think they probably will end up ponying up a little dough to pay for some of the
probably.
The you know the costs of this
that's what I'm saying.
Panic.
It's like it's a win-win. You know,
right.
okay,
yeah.
we'll give
yeah.
you $500,000
because right.
we got more than $500,000 worth of publicity. Just like that casino in Pennsylvania
mm-hmm.
finally gave that poor schmuck his $100,000 that he won on that machine. If they had done that a week earlier,
right.
they would have had no crap at all.
I was glad that the Desert Inn had heart at the end of that.
Turner's apologized, but also points out that, as you mentioned, these ads have been up for weeks in L.A., Chicago, Philadelphia, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and New York, where they did not cause a panic. Quoting one of the men arrested for placing the signs, "We must not be safe from terrorism because they were up there for 3 weeks and no one noticed."
Idiots.
He and a co-worker now each face charges of planting a hoax device. They've pled not guilty. The feds, meanwhile, filed a lawsuit today against the L.A. Times and Paramount Pictures for their promotion of the movie Mission Impossible 3. If you'll remember, there were devices planted in L.A.
Yeah.
Times newspaper boxes. Well, now the government is suing the L.A. Times and Paramount for that stunt, and they announced that today.
As I recall, wasn't that if you opened up a newspaper box,
mm-hmm.
it had a little thing like in a greeting card, a little chip that bit, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Right.
Dun,
they got in
dun.
Trouble for it?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they put like 4,000 of them in Los Angeles.
In the newspaper boxes, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, President
Buzz?
Yes.
They haven't mentioned the Super Bowl.
Dumbers.
That's all. Just trying to stay timely and topical.
Sure. Yeah. President Bush almost accidentally ran over some reporters this week with a tractor. Some of his own people were also in harm's way as the president. Where's my tractor? Hopped onto a caterpillar at a plant in Illinois. Carl Rove tried to warn everyone.
He make sure you stay out of the way. He's incapable of operating this machinery properly.
Carl pointed out the president doesn't drive very often. It was Carl Rove who asked, do you think he can drive it?
His motor skills have been severely adjusted.
Even the president issued a warning, quoting him, I suggest moving back.
Pick up the bodies and take them away.
Quoting the president, I suggest moving back. I'm about to crank this sucker up. The tractor lurched forward, causing White House staffers to scramble. Out of my way, yelled the news photographer. I think you might run us over. Later, the president said, and I quote, if you've never driven a D-10, it's a cool experience.
He's mentally retarded.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Do you remember who was the guy on the soap opera that we used to watch?
I don't know the name of the actor.
He played Cliff.
But it was Clint Buchanan.
Right. Clint Buchanan. One Life to Live.
It was Clint Buchanan.
In real life, this guy, this actor, had a farm in Montana or something like they all do.
Right.
And he was out plowing the back 40. And
you know what I mean. He ran himself over with the tractor.
And he got thrown off the tractor. And the tractor ran him over.
That's right. I mean, he's out there all by himself and the tractor ran him over.
And they wrote him off the show for a while.
Right.
The soap opera. And then they brought him back.
And he was never the same.
And my God, you want to talk about a guy who looked like he got run over by his own tractor?
Wow. That's what everybody said. Everybody watching that soap opera, when Clint Buchanan came back in, we looked at him and went, what's the matter? Did he get run over by his own tractor? Lindsay Lohan is out of rehab saying goodbye to her fellow patients, which include Mike Tyson.
That's not Lindsay Lohan. That's Paris Hilton. She's saying, I get effed in the butt for coke.
Wow.
Don't forget she's a Jappy Jew. She's a friend of Lindsay Lohan's. Paris Hilton is.
Partied together. As Lindsay left the Wonderland Clinic, Us Weekly says Lindsay texted a friend to say all she wanted upon her freedom was, quote, McDonald's and sex. It's not like she was cooped up all this time. Lindsay, like Mike Tyson, an outpatient thing.
How old is she?
I don't know. I don't really
14?
She's gross.
She's like 20.
There's just something about her that's gross.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Miss USA Tara Connor, who's also...
She has the look of a woman who's recently been gangbanged.
Yeah.
I mean, and
that's attractive.
And a woman who's been gangbanged and has asked for it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You look like a party girl.
Right.
She looks like a party girl.
But, you know, and I don't want to sound old-fashioned or anything. Thank heaven for little girls, but all I want is McDonald's and sex.
Do you remember the pictures of her when she was at that party and she was posing in a bikini? And it really looked like she had been, like... sedated and abused. And it's really disgusting. It's scary.
There's something gross about her.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Miss USA Tara Connor, who's also just out of rehab for her drinking, says, oh, yeah, she also used to snort coke. That's her latest revelation.
Oh, you would think she got effed in the butt for it?
And speaking of McDonald's...
I get effed in the butt for coke!
Speaking of McDonald's, a woman in Bradenton, Florida, says she found a razor blade in her breakfast sandwich yesterday morning at the drive-thru of sausage, egg, and cheese. The manager admits they do use razor blades in his store, and an investigating officer says the blades appear to match.
Wow.
The store's owner is urging everyone not to jump to conclusions.
How do you have to use a razor blade in Mickey D's for?
Sharp cheese. Get it? Sharp cheese?
Sharp cheddar. Sex news, and more sex news when we return.
All right, thank you, Buzz. Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Joe.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Simply cow teeth. The Don and Mike Show.
Scubber.
Yeah.
Scubber.
Right. Cool, big Super Bowl show tomorrow. Hey, one day we've not played yet today. It's a good chance to say hi to our friend Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Yep. Guy's kind of an intern, right? We've had
A promotional guy. I think he's the promo guy, and he's on the payroll. And he's a promo assistant. He does all the stuff for anybody that's got appearances.
We've had him on the show before. He looks like David Schwimmer.
Yes.
Gets a lot of poontang.
Right. He's kind of a mellow guy. He's kind of not a nerdy guy, but he's just north of that, but he gets a lot of tail.
Hi, Joshua Tree.
How's it going? And Mike, you nailed it. That's
yes.
Me. That's me.
You're north of nerd.
Yeah, I'm north of nerd, but I'm not afraid to go south if I need to.
He's...
God, he's got
and polished.
He's Joshua Tree.
Oh, sure feels good not to be the gayest guy in the room for once.
Thanks, Joshua. Once again, here is Frank.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We just called you to play that tape.
That's it. That was the only reason.
Oh, sure feels good not to be the gayest guy in the room for once.
Hey,
tear it up, Josh.
You ever F a girl in the butt for coke?
Not for coke.
I get F a butt for coke.
Paris Hilton.
That is gold.
not for coke.
That is gold. On the subject of sex,
please, ladies,
please, slow down.
Slow down, honey.
The psychologist at Concordia University in Montreal experimented with rats. They found that if they introduced males to females...
Were you applauding for rats?
Sure.
They introduced males to females and then separated them, delaying the sex.
What? Rats are gold.
Rats are gold. When the sex got delayed, 80% of the male rats attached themselves to one female and kept going back to her for more. The lesson? That females of any species who give it up too easily are less likely to have a faithful mate than those who tease their males and delay sex.
Don't we all know that anyway?
All right. Well, they're all whores anyway, Buzz.
half the male rats who didn't have that delay with one female wandered into the arms of other female rats. In short, give it up, just make him wait a bit, and he's less likely to leave you.
Right.
We were talking yesterday about adult women who prey sexually on teenage boys.
I like rape.
Right here in Montgomery County, Maryland, a substitute teacher and two counselors at a group home for neglected youth have been arrested for doing a 16-year-old boy. Separately, not as a group.
Hey, you know something?
What?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Either way,
they didn't neglect him.
Doesn't sound neglected, no. All three women ages 24 to 38 face charges of sexual abuse of a minor. Would a man give up sex for life for $2 million? 3 out of 10 men would, according to a new survey.
Could I pleasure myself?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's all sex you'd have to give up.
All sex.
Right.
For $2 million?
$2 million.
Hmm.
That's a very important question that you just brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself.
Give pleasure yourself. Yeah, probably. No.
Could you...
Sorry. Like sex too much.
No sex. Could you give someone else pleasure?
No. No sex at all.
No sex. Because that would be fine. As long as I could give others pleasure.
That's always been your policy.
Shut up, Gigolo. He sits and puts his arms in the air. If I could give others pleasure.
I know, but if I could give others pleasure, that would make me happy.
It's all about giving.
I know.
No way.
I would give it up because at this rate, I've probably got like 14 times left.
Now, the only important thing for me is to give others pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Today you've given me pleasure.
Once you had the $2 million, it'd be tough to keep that promise. Nearly 1 in 10 men surveyed said they would give up sex for life if they never had to work another day of their life.
Stop it, Mike. I know. You just live to please.
1 in 100.
To please others.
1 in 100 said he'd give up a lifetime of sex for a lifetime supply of beer.
With your happy hands and your mumbling mouth.
That's me, happy hands, mumbling mouth.
You're
to give pleasure.
Right. You're all about that.
Tuck the elbows in, put the hands out.
1 in 100 also said they would give up sex for life if they could do it just once with the celebrity of their dreams.
No, boy, I don't think so.
No. Here's another reason.
Although I was intrigued by reading today in the newspaper, Jennifer Aniston said anybody thinks she's had a boob job and can feel her boobs.
That is very nice of her.
Yeah.
Generous.
Wow. Yeah.
She's a giver, too.
Right.
Here's another reason to hate rich people, especially wealthy women. They have more sex than the rest of us, according to a survey of people who make $9 million a year or more. 84% of these high-income women say money means a better sex life. 63% of the multimillionaire men agreed with that. Nearly 3 out of 4 of the rich ladies in this club say they're already in the Mile High Club, and the same number say they have cheated on their husbands.
Evil.
I don't know.
Evil. Sex is sex, Buzz, right?
And right.
Right?
Even the rich women, I wish I could give them pleasure.
I know you do. In sports, a son of Eagles...
Put your hands in that way. Your hands in that way. So that you get pleasure.
It's elbow tuck.
In sports, a son of Eagles coach Andy Reid is accused of pulling a gun on a motorist. And another son is accused of having drug paraphernalia in his car after a crash.
Bad day for the Reeds.
Britt Reid had a dispute
with... How about his brother Harry?
Harry Reid.
Is that a porno guy or is that a...
It was Harry Reams, but it always sounds the same.
Isn't there a Harry Reid like in politics or something like that?
Yeah, Harry Reid is the Senate majority leader.
I've always thought that's a good porno name, too.
Harry Reid.
Well, Britt Reid had a dispute with another driver about who was in the correct lane. He allegedly pointed a gun in the guy's face and smiled,
Later, the guy phoned in Britt's plate number, which actually turned out to be his dad's.
Bad day for the Reed.
Plate number.
I hope that doesn't wipe out Andy Reid.
And Andy's boy, Garrett, meanwhile, reportedly sped through a red light and T-boned a lady's car. The investigating officer found the drug paraphernalia, he says. Oh, will they all get together for the Super Bowl? And finally, talk about uncomfortable. Okay. In San Francisco, the mayor, who's running for re-election, has just been accused of sleeping with his campaign manager's wife.
Oh, look out! Look out!
And he admits it.
Oh, wow.
The campaign manager's wife revealed the affair because that's the kind of stuff you have to do when you're in rehab.
They got pictures.
Substance abuse.
Right. The alleged slut.
The mayor says he's accepted his campaign manager's resignation, quote, with great sadness. Well, sure. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
You're funny, Frank. Tomorrow you have the chance to say Jeremy Piven a few times.
I can't wait. And I'm already doing it. And Jeremy Piven, a bigger star now.
Right. Tomorrow we're having our big Abscess Super Bowl show. We'll see you then. Thanks today to Boomer Esiason, I said, and Topper Shot, Kirk and Martin. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, for the big Abscess show. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Frank.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Head.
Hey, hey, hey,
yeah,
hey.
What?
I am a husband first. That's gold.
Bad day for the Reed.
This is the Don and Mike Show.